not identified the Honourable Moss, could you mute your gadget, please? For those who have not identified the gadgets, please do so, or else we'll ask you to leave the meeting and the host will remove you from the meeting. If your gadget is named Galaxy, you have to please correct. There's a Galaxy tab 5. Could you correct that, please? The meeting is open to the public and to the media, but for sake of our records, could you please identify yourself? If your gadget is named Galaxy Tab 5, we are going to kick you out of the meeting. Colleagues, I'll ask Babawa to flight the agenda. Good afternoon, colleagues. Babawa, could you please flight the agenda?
I will do so, Chair.
Good afternoon, Honourable Minister. Good afternoon, Honourable Deputy Minister.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon.
Welcome, Minister. Have you completed your press conference?
No, I did not take the press conference because I had a physical meeting, Chair, at 3 in Air Force Base. I will request to leave at about 2:30 to attend that emergency meeting. So I could not go to Durban. I went straight back to Pretoria.
Thank you, Minister. I'm waiting for Babawa to please flight the agenda.
Chair, can you see the agenda on the screen?
No. Do we have the National Commission? I don't see, is your gadget named by any particular name, General Sithole?
Good afternoon, Chair. I am connected. My gadget is connected as Sithole.
No, General, you the culprit. Your good afternoon, General. Your gadget is named Galaxy Tab S.
Yes.
I was good to keep out.
No, I joined COVID today, Chair. Thank you.
Oh, no, you've identified yourself. Thank you very much,
Yeah?
Deputy Minister, can you please mute your gadget? Thank you, Deputy Minister. Babawa, are you delaying me?
I'm trying to share the document, but I don't know what is happening from my side. I will ask Ivan to share it from his screen.
Chair, I will share it, but I need co-hosting rights, so I won't be able to share it without that. Thanks.
General Rabi, do you have your presentation?
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair. Yes, ma'am, I have it ready, but I don't have the agenda. Sorry, ma'am.
No, I'm not asking for the agenda. I'm asking if you have your presentation. Could someone please, could the host let Honorable Majozi into the meeting, please? Good. I still don't see Honorable Majosi. She's in the waiting room. Could the host please let she is in now? There's another gadget, 04906. Could you identify yourself, please? I'm wasting my time. Thank you very much. We have the agenda. Honorable members, if you have any problems with the agenda, could you please raise it now? Honorable members, the chairperson of a meeting is allowed to do opening remarks. If you're unhappy with that, you could state it now. We'll then do the adoption of reports and the minutes. We'll do the presentations and then we'll receive the briefing on stability in SAPS or instability. Then we'll do the restructuring process, and that was the end of the meeting. Are you happy with the agenda? If I have no objections, could I have a proposal for the adoption of the agenda?
Sheikh Imam Chair, proposed adoption.
Sheikh Imam proposes adoption. Mapatsa seconds. Could we then go to the apologies, please? Dr. Groenewald has indicated that he will join the meeting late. Babawa, do you have any other apologies?
No, Chair, I don't have any apologies.
Thank you. We'll then...
Chairperson?
Yes, Minister?
Apologizing to leave early at about 2:30.
The Minister will leave at 2:30. That gives you enough time to interact with the Minister. Then, Honorable Members, I'm going to keep my comments very short. And we reserve our comments for once we have received the presentation. I'm also going to ask Dr. Tinis to fly the letter which I received from the Honorable Frolic. That will be when we do the reports and the minutes, after we have adopted the reports and the minutes. The House Chairperson, Honorable Frolic, has sent me a letter indicating that we, as SAPS, we have to lead an inquiry. The SAPS will lead the inquiry with other relevant committees in the peace and stability cluster from both houses. Tomorrow at 9 a.m., you have been invited to a joint meeting. You do understand, Honorable Members, that if you have a joint meeting, you will only be allowed to ask one question, and please, as police, could we be exemplary in this? The National Assembly, not only of police, but the entire security cluster, the ministers of police, state security, and defense have been invited to the meeting. We'll allow them to give us one presentation. We have consulted, the House Chair has consulted with the House Chairperson of committees in the National Council of Provinces, Honorable Nyambi, who has agreed to the joint inquiry. The joint inquiry, the terms of reference of the joint inquiry will be presented to you tomorrow. So all the details of that inquiry will be presented to you tomorrow. I would then not allow any questions, specific questions to the unrest in Durban and Gauteng, since the inquiry will deal with that matter in detail. We are expected to complete the inquiry and submit the joint report by the time Parliament reconvenes for the third term. That gives us exactly 2 weeks to do the inquiry. If we do not complete our work, we'll request that the House Chairperson gives us an extension. The visit of the members to Gauteng and to KwaZulu-Natal, the report will be presented to you as soon as we are ready. That takes us to the next item on the agenda. It would be the reports. The first report would be the 15th of May, the Committee Oversight Report to Gauteng Province. Could I have that report, please? Honorable members, you have received the reports. This report was sent to you well in advance. We were supposed to adopt it previously, but we were unable to do so. You have read the report. Do you have any considerations? This was your visit, the oversight visit to the Central Firearm Registry and the Forensic Science Laboratories. We'll have another opportunity to discuss this. It is on our agenda for the third term. Could you scroll down? We'd like to see the next page, please. Do you have any amendments you would like to make? Corrections? If not, honorable members, the report is put to the House. You can only adopt and second if you were on the visit.
Sheikh Imam.
Sheikh Imam proposes adoption. Do I have a seconder?
Chair, Honorable Mapatso seconds.
Mapatso seconds. The next items will be the 8th of June, the 9th of June, and the 10th of June, the interviews for the Critical Infrastructure Council. We held physical meetings to consider the interviews of the Critical Infrastructure Council. Honorable Minister, we will submit our names to you. You will then complete the process once you've added your own names. The appointment process for the 10 members of the private sector and civil society members of the Critical Infrastructure Council was referred to the Portfolio Committee February 2021. The different acts, the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act, prescribes how we have to do our work. Whatever we have done will be made public. The process was recorded. The members of the media, if you would like to have those recordings, you are welcome to do that. I'm going to honorable members who were not at the interviews. We were compelled to have the interviews physically. We interviewed a number of candidates. We concurred on the shortlist that we will present to the minister. We'll include another candidate just in case one of our candidates is not available or due to unforeseen circumstances is no longer able to be part of the council. The interview panel recommended the following 10 candidates to be nominated for approval by the minister. Advocate Lufuno Korombi, Mr. Saro Dupria, Ms. Kaletso Lefotani, Mr. Bronson, Mr. Richard Zita, could you please add there, Mr. You cannot just write Richard Zita, Dr. Vincent Mello, Mr. Rambao, Dr. Patience Mbava, Mr. Eugene Van Rooyen, and Ms. Noma Bandla Siliana. There was a name that we said, those were the recommended names for the interview. Those are the 10 candidates to be nominated for approval by the full Portfolio Committee on Police and be referred to the minister. Yes, I note Honorable Blanche.
Sorry, Chairperson, for my interruption. Just to draw your attention to the fact that the second candidate, the name is wrong. It's not Sarel de Pree. It's Willy Renier de Pree.
Could that be corrected, please? We had an 11th candidate as a reserve. Do we still have that name? Honorable Shembeni nominated that name. Honorable Shembeni, is that name there? We said that should be the 11th candidate in case one of... Yes?
Chair, if I may, we in terms of the act, we can't do that. We only have to put 10 names for the minister's consideration.
Yes, we'll put the 10 names for the minister's consideration. We said that the 11th one should be a reserve. It will not be sent to the minister, but in case any of the 10, if we have a problem with any of the 10, the 11th one will be a reserve. We also had that problem when we did the shortlisting. A number of the candidates was either withdrew or they were not found to be the eligible candidates to be interviewed. Honorable Shembeni, do you remember that name?
No, the one I spoke about, it's number 6, is Dr. Vincent.
All right. Thank you very much. So we do not need the 11th. The name is included. Do I have a proposal for adoption since you have no further questions?
Correction, please. It's not Vailie. It's W-I-L-L-I-E. Vailie Dupree.
No, W-I.
Yes, and then W-L-I-E. W-I. That is Vailie.
Willie. Chairperson, if I might, it's W-I-L-L-I-E.
Yeah.
Yes. And then Nira is the second name.
Without a U.
Without a U.
That is wrong. The U must get out there.
Chair, I will correct it later. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do I have a proposal for the adoption of the panel?
Chairperson, I wanted to check number 10. Was it Siliana or Silignana? I'm not sure.
Could the drafters and the staff please correct that? Could you go through the names? Because the names have to be correct when we do the recommendations to the minister.
We will do that, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much. All the names will be corrected and double-checked with those with the recommendation that we correct the names. I have another hand.
Yes. Honorable, yes. Honorable
Majozi.
Yes, on the previous page, I saw that there's a list of honorable members, but I didn't see my name. I'm not sure if maybe I omitted it.
Could we go back to no. Honorable Majozi was there for the entire duration of the interview. She was there for 3 days.
Yeah, thank you.
Honorable members, realize that we had an alternate for the administration as a secretariat, Mr. Gershwin Dixon. So I apologize if we do have slight glitches in this report. With those corrections, do I now have a proposal for adoption?
Okay.
Thank you, Mom. Sheikh Imam proposes adoption. Do I have a
second?
Shembeni seconds. That takes us now to, is that the report is finalized of the interviews we presented to the minister? That takes us to the briefing by SAPS on the police responses to the violence in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. That meeting was held on the 16th of July. Could I have the minutes of the 16th of July, please? Could I go to the recommendations? The responses to the questions you will have, remember, we'll be doing an inquiry into the police responses to the violence. So we'll be doing 2 weeks, we'll be spending 2 weeks on this matter. And I really do expect us to have 2 weeks since it's an inquiry, and we'll expect a succinct and direct answers and responses to our questions. We'll prepare a report after we've conducted the inquiry. The next item on the agenda would be the presentations. I'll take both presentations, and then I'll take questions, a round of questions. When I take your questions, I'll limit it to 2 questions per member. You have complained that you do not receive responses, but you ask many of you ask up to 4 or 5 questions, and then you expect responses. When you do not receive the responses or adequate answers, you then become frustrated. So as from now onwards, you be allowed to ask 2 questions during the first round, and then we'll take responses. Do we have a proposal for the adoption of this minutes?
I move for adoption, Honorable Chair.
Molekwa moves adoption. Do we have a seconder?
Faku seconds.
Faku seconds. That takes care of the minutes. The next item would be the presentation. Honorable Minister, you can introduce your presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The presentation will be led by the National Commissioner of the South African Police Service. So I will hand over straight to him. Thanks.
National Commissioner, could you please indicate who will do the presentation?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you very much, Minister, for the lead, and good afternoon, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister. Chair, just quickly, our delegation in attendance, we've got Lieutenant General Libya for the PCI, and then we've got Lieutenant General Vuma, the Deputy National Commissioner for Support Services. Just tendering an apology for Lieutenant General Masemula. He has taken the vaccine, so he is not feeling well. He's reacting to it for now. And then we've got the CFO, Lieutenant General Dimpane, the Divisional Commissioner for Human Resources, Lieutenant General Pia. Divisional Commissioner Legal Services, Lieutenant General Khan, Divisional Commissioner Supply Chain, Lieutenant General Reed, Component Head Organizational Development, Manager General Zima, Component Head Corporate Communication and Liaison is Manager General Peters. It's also a new appointment since our last appearance as the new head, National Head of Communication in the organization. Then Major General Ravi, Component Head Strategic Management, and Colonel KP Spain, Parliamentary Liaison Officer. So, with your permission, Chair, our presentation shall be led by Major General Ravi. If I have your permission, I can give him the floor. Thank you, Chair.
You may go ahead. Permission granted. Lieutenant General Ravi, you may start the presentation. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair. Honourable Chair and honourable members of the committee, our honourable Minister and Deputy Minister, the National Commissioner, our Deputy National Commissioners, and the senior management of the South African Police Service. Honourable Chair, following the request received from the Portfolio Committee, we have prepared a presentation on the 2 topics that were included. Number one, the stability of the SAPS and the restructuring. We have combined the 2 topics in 1 presentation, and we will first deal with the issues around stability. And the second part of the presentation, we will then move to the restructuring of the South African Police Service. Honourable Chair, as far as the stability is concerned, the approach that we followed looking at stability, we will basically be addressing the issue in 2 dimensions. First of all, looking at stability as far as management is concerned, and secondly, looking at stability as far as the organization is concerned. So we will provide a historical context in terms of the management and then the initiative that has been implemented by the National Commissioner to stabilize leadership. And then we will follow the challenges to organizational stability, and then we will provide a conclusion. The second part of the presentation, ma'am, we will focus on the gaps where we will explain the rationale, the guiding principles, the consultation that we went through, the SSBC agreement. We will briefly touch on the structures and how the South African Police Service is structured in terms of the latest approved organizational structures. And we will also brief the committee on the rationalization of certain posts and capabilities, and just indicate the compensation, how it is affecting the establishment, and then the current status of implementation. Starting with stability of the...
My apologies, Lieutenant Colonel. My apologies for interrupting you. The only person I'm allowing in this meeting who has not named his gadget is the National Commissioner. Host, can you please remove 049-05741 from my meeting? I've asked you enough now to name your gadgets.
Not
0405741, could that person please be removed? I've asked you now to rename your gadgets. The only one that will be allowed is Galaxy Tab, the National Commissioner. National Commissioner, could you mute your mic as well, please? Who is 0409-05741? Babawa, please remove that person. There's another gadget. There are two gadgets. Thank you very much. Major General Rabi, you may continue.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. As I indicated that we will start the presentation first, providing historical context as appointment of certain key positions are concerned. Now, as far as the National Commissioner is concerned, the previous National Commissioner, General Piecha, was suspended on the 14th of October 2015 following the recommendations made by the Farlam Commission of Inquiry. Following the suspension, two acting National Commissioners were in office for a period of 2 years. That is from the period from 14 October 2015 to 21 November 2017. So for a period of 2 years, we did not have a permanent appointed National Commissioner in office. Now, the current National Commissioner, General Sitoli, was appointed on the 22nd of November 2017, and he is still currently in that position. Also looking at one of the other key positions in terms of leadership stability, Honorable Chair, is the National Head for DPCI, the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigations. If we look at what happened over the last 10 years, 2009 to 2014, there was a National Head of DPCI that retired before the actual retirement age. Then for the period 2014-15, we had an acting National Head for DPCI. 2015-2017, there was a National Head for DPCI appointed, but the appointment was ultimately nullified by court. And following that, 2017-18, another acting National Head was appointed. And then in 2018, during that specific year, same year, the current Head, General Abia, Lieutenant General Abia, was appointed as the National Head for the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigations. Another area where we did experience issues relating to stability was in the crime intelligence environment. The previous Divisional Commissioner was appointed on the 1st of July 2009 and was suspended on 8th May 2011. Following that, Chair, we had 10 acting Divisional Commissioners that were appointed in the period May 2011 to February 2018. So it's in essence a period of approximately 7 years, and over that 7 year period, 10 acting Divisional Commissioners. The former Divisional Commissioner, Lieutenant General Jacobs, was appointed on the 1st of March 2018, and he was then transferred on the 4th of December 2020. So since then, we had two acting Divisional Commissioners that has been appointed, and currently we have an acting divisional commissioner in the division crime intelligence. Now, what has been implemented to stabilize leadership, taking into account Honorable Chair what has just been presented, the National Commissioner put initiative to establish or implement certain activities to establish a climate of integrity in the organization, focusing specifically on the eradication of corruption and criminality within senior management through processes of dismissal. So since 2016, the 1st of April until the end of June last month, a total of 12 senior managers, that is now specifically on the level of Major General and Lieutenant General, that's been dismissed following departmental investigations. So this includes Lieutenant Generals, a total of 3 that were dismissed, and 1 was dishonorably discharged. And as far as the Major Generals are concerned, a total of 6 were dismissed, and 2 have been charged dishonorably discharged. The National Commissioner also initiated an exercise to look at the top-heavy inflated SAPS organizational structure through a process of structuring and rationalization. Honorable Chair, we will address that in more detail in the second part of the presentation. But in essence, the restructuring process was initiated by the National Commissioner, and that was done in consultation with the organized labor at the SSSBC. And the main aim of this is to address the issues around a top-heavy organization, inflated organization, and ultimately to ensure that we cascade resources down to lower level, in particular station level, focusing on your frontline services. But we will address this in more detail when we get to the second part of the presentation. When we move to the issues that addresses or affects organizational stability, we would like to raise a couple of matters that some of which we believe you are aware or the committee is aware of. And first of all, one of the key issues is the budget reductions that has been introduced in the 21-22 medium-term expenditure framework. And we previously presented this to the committee. And I just want to recap as far as that is concerned. If you look at the baseline allocation for 21-22, sorry, Honorable Chair, I saw somebody muted me. Can you hear me, Honorable Chair?
Yes, we can.
Oh, thank you. So coming, just recapping on 21-22, the baseline allocation of 108 billion and the budget reduction is applied in that specific year amounts to 11.8 billion. In the 22-23 financial year, the allocation, baseline allocation 112 billion and the budget reduction applied is 15.8 billion. And the 23-24 baseline allocation 108 billion with the reduction of 11.4 billion that has been applied. Now, as a result of these reductions that were introduced, it necessitated the South African Police Service to prioritize specific functional areas for the purpose of safeguarding those areas, taking into account that we have to ensure sustainable policing and service delivery. So ultimately, through this process of prioritization, Honorable Chair, the aim is to ensure that those functional areas, more specifically in your frontline services, are protected during or safeguarded during this process of implementing the reductions to ensure that at all time we are able to execute our mandate. If we can just illustrate the implications of the budget reductions, that what impact it has got on the South African Police Service. Since 2017, the 16-17 financial year, Honorable Chair, we have been facing an organization where we saw slowly but surely the declining figures. We started with an establishment of 194,000 in 16-17, and that ultimately dropped to 182,000 at the end of the 2020-21 financial year. So in essence, that represents in the first 2 years an effective loss of approximately 1,200. That increased to an approximate loss of around about 5,000 in the two following years.
And when we start moving to the baseline year 2021, where we are currently looking at the required reductions, now these reductions is as a result of the budget cuts that were introduced. And you will note, Chair, that if we look at the required reductions that we have to implement, we are facing an establishment that will ultimately drop to 162,944. That means over the next 2-3 years, on average, our establishment will reduce by approximately 6,300 members per annum. And as I indicated, we starting from 194,000 in 2016-17 up to a figure of 162,000 in 2023-24. Now, as an organization, the South African Police Service, that is service-orientated, we are highly dependent on having a capacitated workforce, and unfortunately, a lot of human resources are required, and you will see that over this period of time, we see a significant drop in the human resource capability or capacity that we have. If we compare that, Honorable Chair, with the growth in the population, taking you back to the year 2010, you will see that we started then with an establishment of 119,000 people that grew to 199,000, just below 200,000 in the year 2012. Now, at that time, as a result of that increase and taking that total establishment into consideration and the population relevant at the time, we had a police-to-population ratio of 1 to 254, or one police officer for every 254 members of the population. Now, in the year 2013, that's where we start seeing a slow decline. It goes up slightly in 2016, there's a slight increase, and then it starts decreasing again in 2017 up to the 2021 situation. So the result of that is, while we see a declining workforce in the South African Police Service, Honorable Chair, our population has been growing. Now, ideally, taking the requirements into consideration, we should see a growing police service relative or compared to a growing population. But as a result of the fact that we see a growing population compared to a reduced police service, the ratio of police to population is actually increasing. So we had a ratio, taking the total capacity into consideration, of 1 to 254, and we are seeing a ratio of 1 to 327. So that gap is just increasing, and that will further increase if you take into consideration what I've presented on the previous slide, where you see further required reductions. Now, if you look at the people or personnel that have been exiting the South African Police Service, since the 2016-17 financial year, we lost a total of 32,662 members through natural attrition. And at the same time, we employed a total of 20,959, and that was through a process of recruitment and lateral entrance. So during this process, this resulted in a net loss of 11,703. Now, the common reasons that we've identified for members exiting the service over the last 5 years include age, where, you know, the SAPS Act members retiring at 60, Public Service Act at 65, ill health retirements, deaths, members leaving the organization for better salary packages, personal reasons, as well as members that are being dismissed from the South African Police Service. At the same time, Honorable Chair, Treasury introduced an early retirement initiative, which the South African Police Service also participated in. And during that process of early retirement, a total of 2,825 employees exited the South African Police Service through early retirements without the penalization of pension benefits. So when we look at the further challenges to the organizational stability, taking into account, Chair, what we've presented now in the previous slides on the actual establishment, it is the cuts in the compensation budget are also impacting on our internal processes to ensure upward career mobility or upward mobility
in terms of our rank system and our establishment. So a number of our human resource management priorities were also affected by this budget cuts that has been introduced. So consequently, we as an organization will have to determine, depending on the availability of funds, to which extent some of the following HR human resource priorities can be implemented. First of all, we need to look at the filling of critical vacancies in terms of post promotions and appointments. So as I indicated in the previous slide, given the fact that people are leaving the organization, they are creating vacancies, and some of these vacancies are at production, middle management, and senior management level. And the method that we apply to fill those vacancies is primarily through a process of promotion where people apply for promotion or they apply for a vacancy. And in some instances, we also use the lateral entries. So as a result of the budget cuts that has been introduced, we will have to prioritize which critical vacancies can be filled given the availability of funding. This also impacts on the recruitment of new or the enlistment of new recruits to specifically enhance our capacity at frontline services. Because one of our priorities, Honorable Chair, is first of all, if you look at the minimum requirement or the staffing levels at our shifts within at frontline services. Now, for instance, there we are looking at a minimum of 4 members per shift plus the contingency allowance. Now, the contingencies we have to cater for issues around absenteeism, training, members going on courses, etc. And that amounts to approximately 25-29% of the minimum requirement. So we are talking about around about 6 to 7 members that you actually need per shift to ensure that you have a minimum requirement of 4 on duty at all times, while the rest is to cater for the specific contingencies. There's also been, and I will also touch on that, Honorable Chair, a need for establishment of new specialized units. There are constantly emerging threats that we as a department need to respond to that affects the demand for specific policing capabilities. And I will just touch on some of those at the later part of this slide. And then lastly, Chair, the great progression process arrangement that we have for qualifying members, more specifically at production level, in terms of great progression in their salaries, that is also affected by the budget cuts. So as I indicated, Chair, the budget cut, the reduction required from us as an organization to prioritize the filling of critical vacancies. And when we are talking about critical vacancies, obviously the most important ones will be like your station commanders, unit commanders, district commanders, et cetera. Those are key positions that we had to prioritize as an organization. And then also the capacitation of specialized capabilities that I referred to, such as the anti-gang taxi violence. And one that is very, very important is the FCS capability, family violence, child protection and sexual offenses units. That has been prioritized by means of various interventions by broader government. And as the South African Police Service, it is also our responsibility to ensure that sufficient capability is available in that regard. The next issue on which I want to touch on is the issue around police safety. It is currently a reality that we have attacks on police stations. We are giving some of the figures there. We had 14 attacks in 2018-19, 3 attacks 19-20, 4 attacks in the 2021 financial year. And at this time already in the current financial year, we had 3 attacks on police stations in the various provinces, the latest 3 as indicated in the Eastern Cape. We are also reflecting, Chair, the members that were murdered on duty, not all the police deaths, but you will also note a significant figure there. With 2019-2020, we had a total of 41, and in the 2021 year, a total of 31. So this remains a critical issue that we as a department need to address, because members being responsible for the safety of communities, it's our responsibility as a department to ensure the safety and the well-being of our members. It was also evident during the recent unrest, Chair, that we've noted, Honorable Chair, we've noted threats against law enforcement agencies in general and police stations in particular were identified. Several threats that indicated potential
attacks on police stations and disarming of police members. And at this point in time, that remains a threat that we are constantly aware of. So following that, and given the current situation, the South African Police Service has identified police safety as a priority through, and we've made additional funding available to address the aspects that relates to, in particular, police stations and some of the safety aspects. I just need to mention, Chair, that this is a limited budget, and this is a project that we have initiated that is currently in process, but obviously additional funding will ultimately be required to address all the issues. So we are focusing on, as far as the stations are concerned and some of the other identified high-risk capacities or infrastructure, we're looking at closed-circuit television, perimeter fencing and lights, lockable gates for vehicles and pedestrians, secured entrances to building, community service center and guardhouses. And then lastly, also again touching, and this is the HR issue, the minimum staffing requirements for frontline officers. And that also includes, as I explained, a sufficient contingency allowance. But just again to emphasize, Honorable Chair, that although funds have been allocated, this is an ongoing priority and project currently in the running. And ultimately, as I indicated, we have a limited budget and additional investment will be required. We also have the issues around the...
Major General Ravi, these very same members complain that your presentations are too long and that when you do the presentation, you add long explanations. The members have even asked me to do not do presentations. I told them that these meetings are recorded. They are public meetings. They are open meetings. So you have to be allowed to do presentations. So you have two presentations. I'm not going to give you an hour to do presentations because the minister is leaving at half past two. The members would like to ask questions and they expect answers. So this time I'm going to be very strict. It is 12:47 now and you have two presentations. Your presentation that I have received, you have 34 pages. The last page, number 34, says thank you, which means you have 33 slides that you have to cover. So could you, when your time is over, I'll give you, how much time do you still need to do your presentation? It's 10 to 1 now.
I believe I can finish by 1 o'clock, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much.
In terms of the current slide, Honorable Chair, there is also third-party dependencies in the department where we are dependent on other departments such as Public Works, State Information Agency, as to support the South African Police Service in creating this, the stability and the capability that we are looking for. We also have to deal with certain socioeconomic factors that includes unemployment, poor environmental design, and also noting that there's a general perception from an international and national perspective that it's not safe in South Africa and that South Africa is regarded as one of the most dangerous countries in the world. We also indicated, Chair, there's a demand for extra policing capabilities in terms of taxi violence, illegal mining, gangsterism, and there's also an indication, currently emerging threats, that talks to the human trafficking and the kidnapping of people. So in conclusion, Chair, as far as the stability is concerned, we address two aspects, and we want to indicate that the actions that have been implemented by the National Commission to address corruption and misconduct may be by some be perceived as an indication of instability, but it's actually focusing on the stability of the organization, and that we are responding strategically to the current factors that are impacting on our stability to ensure that we are in a position to execute our mandate. But ideally, the South African Police Service should be better resourced to ensure that we are able to respond to an ever-increasing policing demand. Restructuring, Chair, the second part of the presentation, here we are focusing on the fact that we are currently restructuring the police service and it's primarily informed by the budget cuts that have been introduced. So that is one of the factors that impacted on our restructuring process.
And we, through the restructuring process, we want to make sure that we optimize the functioning of the organization and at the same time capacitate our frontline capabilities and ensure alignment with broader government's district development model. We are focusing on creating capabilities in terms of strategy, operations, and coordination and support, our mandate, and resourcing our frontline capabilities at minimum level, while at the same time establishing the required specialized capabilities. We've went through a process of internal and external consultation with the current management structures within the SAPs, and on the outside, we also consulted with at triple SBC level and the relevant organizational design committees, the PCOP, as well as the audit committee. So the after the structures were approved, Chair, there was the department and the organized labor signed a triple SBC agreement of 2020, one of 2020. And this, in terms of this, all posts have in the new structure are declared vacant, except those of the national and provincial commissioners, and we will then match and place the remaining personnel through a matching and placing process. This will be approached in phases due to the size of the organization. Chair, I'm not going to go into the detail as far as organizational structures are concerned. What we would like to highlight here, if you look at national level, you will note that we have reduced from 6 deputy national commissioners to 3. The one is for policing, crime detection and support services, and each one of them are responsible for a portfolio of that is linked to that specific capability. The same is mirrored in the provincial level, where we also reduced the number of provincial deputy provincial commissioners to 3 for policing, crime detection and support services, and the district commissioners is directly accountable to the provincial commissioner. And then lastly, we are moving away from the cluster concept to districts, and this is an indication of the district structures. And you will note, Honourable Chair, that in some instances we are focusing on the establishing of deputy districts in your metros, specifically the ones in Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Cape Town, where due to the size, high levels of population density, etc., we are dividing them into sub-districts to make sure that it's more manageable. This is the structure of Honourable Chair of the PCI, as it was approved by the head of PCI, and this is currently in a process of implementation. It makes provision for the specific priorities as it is declared by the national government. You will note on slide 29 which are the capabilities and how they are addressing the issues and priorities that's been outlined in the MTSF, as well as ministerial priorities, as well as the national development plan. This is what the picture will look like. Chair, well, in the following slide, I will indicate that we've migrated from 176 clusters. This gives you an idea of the number of clusters and police stations we will have in the respective provinces without going into the detail. A total now countrywide of 52 districts and 1,156 police stations. As far as just to highlight some of the posts that has been rationalized at SMS level, we've reduced with 10 posts at Lieutenant General level, 69 Major General posts and 36 Brigadier posts. So in total, 1,115 posts only at SMS level that's been rationalized through the process of restructuring. And then just indicating the growth for police stations where we are currently standing on a chair at 1156. You'll note the clusters we've reduced 176 clusters to 52 districts. And then the specialized capability is also increasing from 1,002 to 1,079. The purpose of this slide, Chair, is just to indicate that as far as compensation is concerned, the committee will note that the compensation budget is basically stable on 75 billion over the next 3 years, the three outer years. But the net effect of that is that we are seeing a reduction in the number of warm bodies due to the impact of inflation. And the current status of implementation, Chair, the Deputy National Commissioners have been appointed. A national panel has been established that comprises the Deputy National Commissioners and PCs, as well as representatives from Labor. And we have made processes and recommendations for Divisional Commissioners, National Component Heads and Deputy Provincial Commissioners. And this has been submitted to the minister for consideration. It was referred back to us by the minister with certain directives, and we are currently attending to that. Honourable Chair, I think that concludes the presentation. Thank you, ma'am.
Chairperson, are you there?
Chairperson, you are muted.
Thank you very much. That is the end of the presentation. Honourable Minister, would you like to add?
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, the presentation as it made, we'll live with it and wait for the questions. There are many debates that were among ourselves on the presentation. I can say that some of the things are developing. Your ratio, Chairperson, of the police vis-a-vis vis-a-vis the population, the stations, the improvement of the security, some of those things are within. But for now, one will give the space to the question so that you are able to come back. Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Minister, thank you very much. Honourable Members, I've noted Whitfield, Meshu, and then Terblanche. You are 11 in the meeting. You have now round one. You'll ask one question each. That means we'll have 11 questions. And then I'll take responses to the 11 questions. So, Honourable Whitfield, could you ask one question, please? You'll get your second question after this round.
Yes, with pleasure, Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and thank you for the critical presentation on what we know has been something of a burning issue which Parliament needs to attend to, which is the crisis within the South African Police Service. But Chair, I want to specifically direct my question to the National Police Commissioner. And that question is directed towards the instability within the South African Police Service. The one element that has been missing in the presentation is the issue of political interference. And if we look at the series of appointments of national police commissioners over time, it does point to an issue of political interference or political preference over national police commissioners by different interests. But Chairperson, in January, a judgment was handed down against the National Police Commissioner in relation to what has now become known as the spy grabber issue. And the National Police Commissioner and two of his deputies have recently lost their appeal in the Supreme Court of Appeal. Now, going to the instability within the South African Police Service, I think it's important for this committee to know whether there will in fact be a disciplinary against the National Police Commissioner and his deputies, or in the interest of the integrity, stability, and credibility of the South African Police Service, whether they will resign on the basis of the judgment and the dismissal of their appeal. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Whitfield. Honourable Meshu.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question has to do with the safety of the police. During the riots and the looting, we saw some police withdrawing from the mobs that were charging. And when we asked them why they were withdrawing, they said they were not allowed to shoot at the protesters, even those who were armed. And then secondly, some of them said it was difficult for them to be heard because they are using public transport. And some of those who are demonstrating are saying to them, we will get you in the bus or in the train and we know where you stay. So under such conditions, how can the police be effective in doing their duty when they know that they are so vulnerable, they are not allowed to shoot even when they are shot at, and they still have to travel with people that have been looting and that have said to them, we are going to get you, we know where you stay, and we know how you are going home. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mathieu. Honorable De Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, we got a presentation, you know, dealing with numbers and, you know, structures and stuff like that. Chairperson, I want to ask a question from a different angle. And the question is, you know, stability can mean a lot of things. Now, in terms of my definition now, stability would mean that the police is able to ensure safety and security. Now, my question is, Chairperson, the presentation that we got, are we saying that the police are still able to fulfill their Section 205 responsibilities from the Constitution? Because what we have seen, Chairperson, is perhaps dismally failed to protect the people and their property. That is my question, Chairperson. Thank you.
And thank you very much. Sheikh Imam.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, my question is to the National Commissioner. Could you tell us who is actually responsible for appointments at lower spheres of governance in the police force, particularly in the provincial structures and things? And if that is exactly whoever is responsible is indeed performing his responsibilities based on that. If not, why not?
Thank you very much. Honorable Majozi, can you hear me, Honorable Majozi? You said that you have network problems.
Hi, Jay, can you hear me?
I can, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm trying to move around. We don't have electricity, so it's a bit of a problem. But thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Honorable Members, the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and the SAPS. No, mine, Chairperson, maybe would be of a concern that I would have, not necessarily a question, that if we are going to have one police officer to 234 people, and then it obviously it raises that concern that it seems as if, because safety and security, first and foremost, is one of the priorities of government. Protection and safety of people is of paramount importance. So the process of applications for people who must be appointed, maybe, and is it going to take place? What is going to happen during this level 3 lockdown? And also it really raises a big issue that as it is that it's one of the priorities, safety and security. If the budget keeps on decreasing all the time, then how will they be able to fulfill their mandate? You know, I think maybe if we can just get clarity on that and how maybe as a committee can we help. I think I agree with Honorable Mishwe that, I mean, we can expect a lot, but only to find that, well, with the report that we are getting, it's impossible. How to service more than 200 people if we are just one police officer, and it's just not workable. So those are my concerns, and that as a committee, let us not throw everything to the SAPS, but also can we look at other avenues that maybe we can use to make sure that they don't get a budget decrease, but at least it should be a budget increase, as it is that it's a priority of government in all structures. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Majozi. Honourable Shembeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm concerned about the intelligence department. I've seen here we've been having close to 10 acting divisional commissioners in the past 10 years or so, meaning that each and every year somebody is being elected or nominated to act in that division, the very, very important division of intelligence in our country. But we have been having different people, 10 different people every year. What is happening in that program, that department of intelligence? Are we not having capable people to be appointed? At the present moment, is there any permanent head of intelligence that has been appointed in that department? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shembeni. Honorable Mapatsu. Honorable Mapatsu.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Chair. Chairperson, I appreciate the presentation by the department, but it does not really speak to the item, the stability in the South African police services. It gives us a picture that the commissioner wants to reduce the high top structure to a level where it is manageable, because action is mainly on the ground. We have seen that they're moving at the district level, which is good. But the stability that we're talking about, I want to agree with Honorable Shembeni. I'm also worried about the intelligence. And what we have seen in the media, it's not presented here to us. We only say, you know, the commissioner and the minister, they are busy with those things. But how do you have a situation whereby you have 10 acting commissioners in a very sensitive situation like this? So we need to know that as a committee, that this has caused a concern for us. That is why we want to understand. We are not here to get the figures. Yes, we know that the budget has been cut, and we support the department that will make sure that we lobby. And we hope with this past events, our government is going to take us our recommendations very seriously. So my issue is about that the sooner the minister and the national commissioner moves fast in that restructuring and appointing permanent members. And I think we need to know our roles, to get an understanding the role of the national commissioner and the role of the minister. Because we've been seeing these things in the media, and they are out, they are playing themselves out there. The national commissioner was nowhere to be seen. I don't know whether maybe she was not allowed to be in the media in this uprising. So if an accounting officer who is not seen, Whereas with the South African National Defence Force, you see the chief of the South African National Defence Force openly speaking to the media and issuing out orders. But with the police, I have never seen Commissioner Stolle addressing or speaking. So the instability that we are talking about is the role that everybody, the minister must play his role and the national commissioner must be allowed to play his role. And the sooner they finalize the issue of the restructuring, the better that we'll have stability in the South African police service. But if it takes long without approving this post to be permanent, you are destabilizing because that person will say, I'm not permanent, I can be removed at any time. So it's a problem. Lastly, Chair, I just want to talk about the issue of the grabbers. I think, Chair, we need a report because we don't have a report here. And I agree with the Honorable Whitfield that it's a cause of concern to us, the issue of the grabbers that we have seen. But let's have a proper report that will be presented to us about the grabbers, because it is not here in the presentation, but in the next portfolio committee, let this report of the grabbers be presented. I'm saying this, Chair, that we have seen the media saying instability in the subs, but we're calling it stability in the subs, that we need it to be corrected as a matter of agency, because things are happening and we know the budget, we really support them. They know that we support that their budget must not be cut. In fact, it must be increased. And if the steps that Major General Ruddy has shown us, it's worrying. If they are going down, the personnel, then remember also our criminals, they have intelligence. And they can read that, no, the manpower is very weak, just like what happened with the past week. The report that will be presented, it will be speaking precisely to that lack of manpower. It is not the making of the police, but it's because of cutting of the budget and natural attrition. So I just wanted to share that the sooner the appointments are done, and the sooner that the separation of powers is clarified, because you can't have the one over the other. They need to work together. So the sooner we do that, Chair, the better. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mapatse. Honorable Faku, could you lower your hand if you've asked your question? Honorable Faku?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, first, let us welcome the presentation from SAPS. We're grateful for the presentation and greetings to all honorable members, Minister, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner. Chair, from where I'm sitting, you know, we can talk about the issue of budget, then we can talk about everything else that SAPS is struggling with. But if there's dysfunctionality within SAPS, there is no budget that is going to assist making sure that things are done correctly. So my plea as a member of this committee is for us to make sure that we hold the executive accountable. We make sure that things that are supposed to happen within SAPS are done. A year currently, there's an assessment that has been done. That assessment must be done thoroughly. The National Commissioner must do that assessment, and he must come and present to the committee, because currently he has 200 generals under him. During this period, where has this general been? Does this general, this is a question then posed to the National Commissioner, do these people that are generals have the necessary skills to be generals? Because if they had
they are on the ball. We could not have faced such issues that we have faced in the past 2 weeks or so, Chair. Because if on top there's dysfunctionality, even at the bottom, people are not going to take SAP serious. It just gives you a clear indication that a police station is the place that everyone's supposed to be fearing. But people go easily to police station, you know, and attack police. It is not a good feeling. Or what I've just heard, it just gives me stress. It just stresses me, Chair. So one of the other, my second question will be directed to the minister. Does the minister think that the current capacity within the South African Police Service is enough? If there's a second crisis that can come up that the department can deal with. So I think, Chair, also if you look into crime intelligence, the Chair, there are two acting people that are there. There are two acting people. Why have these people not been appointed? So it is important that this issue of acting needs to stop. National Commissioner must take full responsibility that you must appoint people. You can't have people that are acting, because once you have people that are acting, these people will never take responsibilities. Although we know they are doing, but when you give the person a responsibility to lead crime intelligence, one of the critical components within SAPS has acting people. I'm also indeed happy, Chair, that finally a head of communication has been appointed, and I hope that he understands the role, how critical communication is supposed to be within SAPS, because this is one place that the South African police is lacking, because SAPS is doing a lot of good work, but you'll only hear about the bad. Of course, people must know our weaknesses, but people must also know our strengths. So, Chair, I think the police reform must start. We need to have time frames in terms of the assessment. We need to have time frames, Chair. When you conclude the meeting, I think that one we need to emphasize on. We need to make sure that from top, SAPS is functioning. Because if you don't function on top and you are fighting against each other, every day we read negative news about SAPS, which is not good. So, Chair, I think there's a possibility for things to be done correctly. But if, you know, the executive and the national commissioner, they all work together in making sure that you look at the skills that you have, the people that are holding these positions, if you can look at the salaries these generals are earning. If I was minister, I was going to fire some of them, because some of them have been caught sleeping on job during this past week. So I think it's important, but I don't want to point fingers. Perhaps maybe there are other issues. Hence, I've posed those two questions to minister and the national commissioner. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Faku, remember you were supposed to ask one question.
Yes, it's one, but to both of them. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, first, my apology. I connected lately. I was involved in a webinar. Maybe so bear with me if the question I'm going to ask has been answered. But what I want to ask is, firstly, that earlier this year we had a meeting when we discussed the budget, and I complained about the fact that 83% of our total budget is for personnel, salaries, everything included with that. Now, my question is, firstly, has the police applied its mind how to solve this problem? You can't have a budget with 83% going for salaries and other benefits as far as personnel costs is concerned. And may I ask, the 250 million received yesterday from the Minister for Finance, where are the police going to use that 250 million? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Groenewald. Honorable Molekwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also start by appreciating the presentation by the department. We also acknowledge the challenges raised in the presentation. But Chairperson, the issue of functionality of SAS cannot be overemphasized, as alluded by Honorable Faku. And I think all members have raised critical issues that need to be attended urgently by the department. Chairperson, I just have only one question. On the presentation, there was this issue that according to 2021 crime index, the SA, South Africa has been rated as the third and is the most dangerous country in the world in terms of crime rate. So as we are on the process of economic recovery, this is not a threat to the investors, Chairperson. Because if the crime rate is uncontrollable in the country, no investor will want to take risk to invest in our country. So I just want to check with the department that is there any plan in place in order to make sure that this issue of uncontrollable crime is dealt with urgently in our country. And can the department provide the PC, the portfolio committee, with a process plan, with time frames, in order to deal with this crime. As per national development plan, that we will make sure that South Africa becomes a safer country, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Molekwa. Honorable members, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, and National Commissioner, we have had 8 commissioners acting or appointed since 2009. And this has created upheaval. It has created the instability that we have seen. We have almost 200 generals, 600 brigadiers, and collectively they earn 1 billion rand. The minister has said that for the last 2 years, last year we did not take in 7,000 new recruits. This year another 7,000 new recruits will not be taken in because of the public sector budget cuts. And next year will again drop by 7,000. So it means 24,000 new recruits will not be brought in. These are boots on the ground. These are people who have to, man or person, ladies and men in blue, who have to do the actual work. We have over 200 generals. So this structure is so top heavy. How many of these generals, we know there's been natural attrition, we know there's someone who has been deceased. How many of these generals are leaving? How many of the deputy national commissioners are leaving? What is the status now around these appointments and the vacancies that we have experienced? The assassination of Colonel Kinnear has brought into sharp focus the possible collusion of police members and criminals against other police officers investigating their collusion. The media was full of stories and allegations of police complicity in the murder. We received monthly reports, but those reports do not give us very much. We are not getting to the bottom of this investigation. There are allegations that individuals charged were the same individuals that investigated police complicity with gangsters. There's been several court challenges to the decisions of the National Commissioner by senior members of SACS. There are campaigns by civil society organizations to protest against the dismissal of some members, the charging of some members, and there's a clear picture of instability amongst yourselves. you go to court, and every time you go to court, it was the FSA, FDA. You lost several court cases with the FDA matter without implementing any court decision. I have yet to understand why we are losing all these court cases, why we are not implementing the decisions of the court. We've had the decisions of the court on the McBride matter. I haven't received a single report on those decisions of the court and how they're going to be implemented. Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner, your presentations are always late. I've requested that your presentations arrive 7 days prior to the portfolio committee sitting. These portfolio committees, which have been called urgently during the recess, I know that they were not you were not informed timelessly of these meetings, but we cannot receive the presentations after 4 p.m. the day before the meeting. When do the members have an opportunity to study your presentations, go through the presentations? This seriously undermines our oversight role. The department and the minister, you are undermining us in this respect. If your presentations are not sent to me timelessly, I am not going to allow you to do presentations in the meetings. If meetings are called at short notice, we can negotiate when your presentations are sent to us. But the very same members here, they are blaming me for late presentations. They have blamed me for a number of things, including you not responding to their questions. And I am really, really not going to take the blame for matters which are weaknesses in the ministry and weaknesses in the office of the National Commissioner. The minister and the National Commissioner should be reminded that they account to the committee. The portfolio committee has been completely undermined and disrespected in these processes. We do not, and I am going to speak quite strongly in this regard, because at the bottom line, if there's any form of inquiry, I would have to go and account as the chairperson. I'll have to account on why I haven't held you accountable, why we haven't done our oversight work in a particular instance. And at the end of the day, this committee will be represented by the chairperson, and the very same members will be represented by me. So, Honourable Minister and National Commissioner, you now have an opportunity to respond.
Thanks, Chair. I'll respond second, Chair. I will allow the National Commissioner to respond.
Minister?
Yes, Chair.
You are going to allow the National Commissioner to speak?
Yes, and I will speak after him.
National Commissioner? General Satole, your mic is there, but I can't hear you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair, and thanks to the Minister and honorable members for the questions. I will try to provide the strategic responses, and the operatives shall be given the opportunity just to simplify where it's necessary. Starting with the very first question on the judgment, Chair, I just want to indicate that myself and the two deputy national commissioners. We are actually already cleared up by the IG investigation on this particular matter. And this matter was investigated by the IG. The judgment is based on the classification and declassification of documents. And the evidence by the IG was not taken into account. And anyway, no grabber was purchased. There was no procurement at all. But the matter, Chair, is still on review. The question with regard to whether we will resign or not, I would say it's still premature for us to do that. Then the members being allowed or not allowed to shoot, I think, Chair, I have actually also pointed this out as an area of requiring attention with the minister to say the current laws and human rights prescript, including public perceptions, are heavy on the police and they are actually handicapping them from acting. While we are going to invest in the training of police and prepare them to be fully equipped to handle the situation without maximum use of force, I think we also then need to be attending to the laws that are handicapping the police because they create trauma. Then Section 205 fulfillment, Chair, I want to start by saying that there's a decision that was taken that the numbers of policing must be scaled down despite the growing population. And in the presentation, it is clearly shown you police a population of 49 million with 199,000 strength. Then you are expected to police an increased population of between 58-59 million with 162,000. And that is a considerable scale down, and it handicaps the fulfillment of Section 205. Then again, because we are being judged more on the recent incidents, I think the public order was scaled down from 12,000 to 4,000. I think at the present moment, last minus 4,500. It ended up again with the depreciation of the capital strategic assets, your air support, and as well as your Nyala fleet, which is your armored vehicles. So I think the Nyala, the air fleet has collapsed. At the present moment, I think if you want air support, you can't fly more than 5 helicopters nationally. I think in 2009, 2010, we could fly up to 14 in the air. And 9 of that number is currently grounded, and it's not grounded for a year. It's now more than 3 years grounded. And there's quite a large fleet of the Nyalas that is also grounded. We are working on getting the new Nyalas. Obviously, we can no longer fulfill the mandate 100%. We are handicapped quite a lot. There has been a growing number of police stations, but numbers of policing did not grow. So we still have a challenge to man some of the police stations. But the special development demand, there's been a considerable growth that requires more police. Now we are trying to improve on the ratio so that we we get the top-heavy structure, we scale down on the generals, we employ more constables, because that's what we need at the present moment, so that we've got more boots on the ground. That process is in progress as I'm speaking. We cannot argue the budget cut any further, because there's fiscal constraints experienced by the country, but we need to look at what we can do within. Then the appointments at lower levels, it is the authority has been delegated to the provincial commissioners in terms of the delegation of powers. Then there are certain levels of appointments that are then ratified by myself at national, especially the appointment of senior managers. But the provincial commissioners have got sufficient authority to effect those particular appointments as per the delegation. And at the present moment, they are doing it. But then I also need to indicate then that those appointments are also subject to be done within the scope of the available budget. If there's no budget, they can also not proceed. And then in terms of how the committee can assist in this, my appeal to the committee could be that as a result of the fact that we are being handicapped a bit in increasing the numbers, including the replacements thereof, because the few that we can employ, we're also handicapped by the virus in terms of training. But we have resorted to the false multiplier approach. We decided to introduce a reservist personnel plan where we now want to go to a maximum recruitment of reservists. And we then need maybe the community to can the committee to can assist us when we do community mobilization, so that we can get more and more reservists. But over and above that, we've also introduced the community in blue, which we are also investing on, so that we can actually support the enhancement of visibility. The third part, since we've got a higher demand for visibility, and visibility is the one that can make a difference in terms of the current state of crime in the country, we then also need to invest in technology, especially the safer city technology. And when you also look at the environmental design, we also need drone policing. So maybe if the committee could support us, maybe so that we can get a little bit more investment in technology. And if our investment in technology can increase, I think we can be assisted. And apart from the fact that we're trying to respond to the geographical spatial development, but the online spatial development is also growing rapidly so. And and there's more and more population that are relocating to that particular site. And the modus operandi there is advanced. I think the criminals online, they don't deal with small money, or they don't do small things there. It's very serious. So I think we also need to prepare ourselves, and that requires more investment in technology. Then there's the generals having skills or not, I want to say generals are taken through various training at the stages of their growth up to their level. But at the present moment, we have decided to place them according to their skills because not all of them are accurately placed according to their skills. We have looked into the strategic deployment, hence we introduce the restructuring process. But I also then need to indicate further to say, in order for us to respond to the current situation, we do not necessarily need generals. We need more constables to in order to enhance the production level. And as a result of that, during the restructuring, there are those sections that we are declaring redundant. Like, for instance, we have the one component of the Deputy National Commissioners, the management intervention. We decided to close it down, and we then did not replace those generals, and we freeze their budget, and we took it down to recruitment so that we can have more constables. That particular process is also continuing until we are left with a reasonable number that can actually, that is necessary to run a macro function, which is what we're doing. Then the budget and the vis-a-vis the personnel cost, I have issued a directive to the Integrated Resource Committee to work on striking the balance, because we're not necessarily supposed to be at 83, but rather at 75. So that process is also linked to the restructuring, and the CFO function is also working on it together with the Integrated Resource Committee. Then the crime index, Chair, I want to agree that it is posing a threat, especially to investors. But I have also then explained to say it doesn't necessarily reflect or show a true reflection of what South Africa is, but they derive it from the Safer City Index. And the investors are also doing their own research. But within the country, we have introduced our own approach in terms of the National Safer City Strategy, where we've set up a committee already, and it includes the private sector and other key stakeholders, which is working on the development of a National Safer City Index, and it will then include our crime index as confirmed of verify or align to our crime statistics. So that process is on at the present moment. So the generals that are leaving, that is linked to the restructuring process, but obviously there are those that are staying. Yes, we are on a recruitment backlog, Chair. The cost of the recruitment backlog, I think, is two. One is the scaling down, but on the other hand is the delay in the basic training processes that has been caused by COVID-19. But as we are moving to level three, I'm sure things will also then get better. The investigation with regard to Kenneth Kanier, I think as a result of the fact that there has been dynamics, we've also introduced IPIT in. There's investigations that are dealt with now by IPIT, and the IPIT is in progress. And then there's investigations by DPCI. Then the internal investigation and process is also continuing to deal with this particular situation. The presentations, I would like to extend my apology from the side of the South African Police Service, but also then indicate to the Chair that we have taken the direction and we will comply fully. Thank you very much, Chair. With your permission, if I think the only Deputy National Commissioner we have here is Lieutenant General Vuma, if she wants to add, and the CFO can clarify the budget. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for those answers, National Commissioner. Could we hand over to Lieutenant General Vuma and the CFO?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Minister of Police, General Kulele, the Honorable Members, members from the South African Police Service, a very good afternoon. Chairperson, let me also start by apologizing earlier on with regard to the number that you called on the screen. I wasn't aware that it is me because I have connected with the very same gadget that I normally connect with, but it reflected the number instead of my name. My sincere apologies in that regard. The National Commission has responded to...
General Vuma, your gadget is still reflecting a number. I'm not going to allow this to happen. You are forgiven today, just because General Sotole has also logged in with a different gadget. You are forgiven for today, but this is the last time I allow you. Thank you very much. You can continue, General Vuma.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I don't know, because this is the very same gadget I always connect with, but I will correct it, Chairperson. The only question that requires elaboration, Honorable Chairperson, is the issue of the money that we received yesterday, which I'm going to request with your permission, General Dimbane, to elaborate on it. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, General Dimbane.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Committee Members, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner, all the generals present. Honorable Chair, the 250 million that was announced yesterday to be received by the South African Police Service is in the main in relation to the deployment of our members during the unrest and the operation that we have undertaken up to so far. Most of the costs that we are going to incur were unforeseen. As a result, Treasury has made this 250 million available. In the main, it will be utilized for special daily allowance that we are going to be paying to the members, meal allowances, accommodation and S&T, as well as other additional resources that were identified during the period to strengthen the resources that we availed to the members. A little bit of reservist deployment, also we had an estimate there, as well as night shift and service allowance. So we had made estimates. Chairperson, you'll recall that when we presented to the committee, we indicated that we estimated the expenses to be at about 350. So we will then be allocating this 250 according to those items that in the main we incurred during this particular deployment of our members. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, General.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Minister. Thank you, National Commissioner.
Yeah.
Honorable
Chair,
Minister.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes, National Commissioner.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Chair. I just forgot the one important question on CI. I just needed to indicate that the restructuring committee has done the work with regard to CI, and they recommended the current acting Lieutenant General Mukhabudi for appointment, and I've ratified their recommendations. So I think the matter will soon be finalized immediately after it has been escalated to the minister.
Thank you very much, National Commissioner. Honorable Minister.
Thanks,
President.
Yes, Honorable Minister.
Can I come in before the minister speaks, please? Because my question has not been answered.
Yes, we are still, Honorable Minister, still giving the minister an opportunity to answer questions.
Okay.
If your question is not answered after the minister has spoken, I'll give you another opportunity.
Thank you.
We allow the minister to speak now, please. Honorable Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to start at the end. Absolutely nobody undermines the chair, especially from me understanding the structures, how they work. And if there are problems, Chair, there should be inefficiency in dealing with the work, not the undermining. That is far, far away, Chairperson. But
Thank you, Minister.
We can talk about the flow of these reports from us to you, which gives some of us a real problem in the ministry. But that's not here. We're not here about that for now, Chairperson. But undermining, the rest assured, your office is highly respected. These structures are well understood by some of us, Chairperson. Having said that, Chairperson, starting on the question raised by Honorable Whitefield, I think the commissioner has
has answered that question. Chairperson, I'll be short on this question. I know nothing about this thing, just nothing. I know nothing about the original case. I know nothing about the case when it was decided in the court. I know nothing about the case when it was appealed for the first time. I know nothing about the second time appeal on the Supreme Court. I know nothing about the results. I only knew yesterday by chance that this decision was taken on the 30th. So the less I talk about it, the better for me. The only problem I have is that some of these decisions are written with cost. Now, it's not clear for me whose cost is that. But I must say, since it involves the national chairperson, a senior person to the national person will have to sign these finances of legal finances and all that. I have signed nothing. I know nothing. I'm told by rumors that we're around about 1.8 million, and I know nothing about that. So I'll end there on that, Chairperson. Babamoshwe, the honorable member, you go on the police welfare and not allowed to shoot. I think the National Commissioner did raise on this one. You know, it is one difficult matter starting with marijuana and going with Falun and the other documents that have been around there. The police are really in dilemma. I think at one time we sit down and decide and discuss how police should behave on this one. I'm sure you have seen members when the police started somewhere here in Gauteng are pushed around sometimes by foreign nationals when they have firearms in them. And then those police will simply say, we stand alone when we use these firearms. We are heavily investigated. Nobody tells us, nobody finds out what really happened to us. We have seen police taken by criminals, put at the back of the van. The latest one, Chair, is what happened in the Northwest, where two police were found their chartered bodies in the back of the van and all that. So it's police are highly regulated, highly restricted, all at the expense of their, let alone the work, their own lives. Those are the restrictions that are there. Look at the Falun Commission, what is saying. And police, they stand alone when these things are said, when these things are done, and when they have tried to defend themselves and all that. Chairperson, on the question raised by "We'll find you because we stay together," it's true. Most of the police, they stay in the townships. But I think we do have a policy of transport that the police must be transported where they stay and come. That can be explained. That's the policy. I understand it exists. So I agree with Honorable Mashua. The welfare of the police is one thing that is not taken on board by many of us, but by the legislation themselves and by the Human Rights Commission people, by the NGOs. Just nobody believes that police need to protect themselves, need to protect the rest of the people, and need to be safe themselves. So on that one, I'll end there, Chairperson. Yes, Honorable Terry Blatcher, that's a basic job of the police, the Constitution, to protect, investigate, uphold the law, enforce the law and all. But there are many other things that will have to work. Well, the other one is just the above question, is above answer of the legislative framework when it comes to policy. But one other thing, maybe we'll talk as the chair tells us that we'll be going to commission and all that. Chairperson, the part of policing is a visibility. Part of policing is a number of police. Let's take the number
given to us by Falam on the POP. He's given us about 12,000 to be able to police the population at that time. We're at 5,000 because we don't have police, we don't have money for equipment and all that. So it doesn't tally those things. Maybe there will be a platform to talk more about those things. As such, then the people themselves in protected and the people themselves in the police protecting the property then suffers. But also police guarding so much against the fatalities as they implement their work. Maybe that's one story we'll tell around what happened during these protests in Gauteng and KZN, how the police behaved, trying to save lives and find that their situation is undermined by this quagmire of between they can't shoot, they can't do that, and the quagmire of doing the work. But there will be things that will have to be answered by us. Things like, did we use the maximum equipment that is there or not? Chairperson, one major problem, talking about the supply of equipment within the police and all that, one thing that one has discovered, though is improving, but is still giving us a lot of problems, is the supply chain management of the South African Police Service. It does give a problem. Things like your buccal samples, things like your DNA is nothing but inadequacy of the supply chain management. That includes other things like machine, like your helicopters. We find that things are not signed supply, they are allowed to collapse and not give them, take them within time to make sure that they don't collapse their signed contract. It's one major problem, supply chain management. That we have sat down and we've spoken about it time and again, time and time. Chairperson, this was answered by Honorable Chembeni. The appointments, how are they happening? Chairperson, the question of crime intelligence, well, I hear Commissioner that they finalized, they'll bring it here. Mama Khubuti has been acting on it. Well, I don't know. We'll debate. It's unfortunate that he came here first. But I do have a meeting with the commissioner on this one. I think Honorable Member Mapato raised a thing. That meeting is on Monday. I hope this one will be discussed. One major problem, if we sign the appointment of Ms. Mahumat, General Matarata, one other problem, I think the matter is still in court with the former head, who... Jacobs. Now, until that is resolved and the court tells us what to do and not what to do, could be a problem. I'm saying so because the court might come back and say to us, you erred, you go and fix that thing, take him back and all that. I'm on this jittery side that we finalize these matters when the court processes are not finalized on these matters. There are other court processes, by the way, that are in this restructuring, Chairperson. One of that is Mamungosi, who is in internal audit. Well, I know that there are court processes that are going on and which would be difficult to reach the finality before those things are finalized, especially when these matters are in the court of law. There are a lot of exchange of letters between the National Commissioner and the Minister, especially on the CI things that we hope will finalize them on Monday. But one thing that has been happening around this issue. There's been a lot of leakage of matters vis-a-vis this department and vis-a-vis the correspondence between the commissioner's office and the minister's office. That can be put there and be explained. But it has been really worrying that these two offices, high as they are, they can't just get the luxury of corresponding without them being exposed in terms of leakage, even before the matters are discussed between themselves, even before the matters are finalized. I think that's one thing that will be really have to work on it. The Honorable Member Mapaso asked the question, is the Commissioner prohibited? No, he's not prohibited to make statements, to make interviews, to be on the field, to be down, to be on the ground. The minister would be there. We remember that there was a big question, where was the minister? We tried to run there. It is completely on the commissioner's accord whether he goes to these places or no. No, there's absolutely no prohibition on that. From the side of the minister, and the minister would not have that power to tell the national commissioner to sit home. Really, that could be answered why he would not be there. But from the side of the minister, absolutely there is no prohibition, as was asked by Honourable Minister Mapaso, Member Mapaso. Current capacity enough, Honourable Fagu? No. It's not. That can be explained in terms of figures, in terms of machines, in terms of finances. I hear one member saying if things are not put in order at the top level, even if you put the money there, it won't work. I don't believe so. Maybe let me take this point. National Commissioner and I, let me repeat it, we are not friends. We don't drink coffee together. But let me assure you, we work together. Even if you want to see our phones, we phone one another almost daily, ask questions, raise matters, and see how we do matters. In that work, there are things that we'd not agree upon, but it's not animosity. We're not fighting, but I can assure you, we work together. There might be things that we don't agree upon. As accounting officer and as executing authorities supposed to direct matters and all that. But to say we are chaos, we not work together, I would really not agree with that. Honorable Minister Funevash, I think the money of compensation is 78% rather than 83%. One could confirm that I think is 78, which is high, by the way, I agree, is high. Money to do other things will just help. I want to put this as a further debate. This South Africa that is number three when it comes to crime issues. Most of us were here when the World Cup could not come in South Africa, was blocked all the way because everybody, all the teams were going to be butchered. All visitors, all tourists, everybody would be butchered in South Africa. And that never happened. But after that, the South Africa had a very high number of tourists after that World Cup, and they continued to come until the COVID-19, not by the crime, by the way. So the crime issue has been used in the world to be economic blockade of those countries that will run and say, don't go to countries so and so because you won't come alive. It is used as a propaganda, especially when it comes to tourism and all that and the investment. So I would love to, when we discuss this, we discuss it broader with the understanding of other parts of the world. I made an example in one meeting, Chairperson, to say There is a city here where you hear a top praises of it all the time. It's called Rio de Janeiro. They talk about beautiful women. They talk about beautiful beaches and all that kind of stuff. But when you visit there, you are told by the officials not to bring the camera because they did not get the permission to take the photos on the agreement they have with the drug lords. That's, you don't have a situation where there will be an agreement between South African Police Service and the drug lords. There, you can't go there as a member of the police at the force because you need to get permission from the people, from the lords, drug lords or whatever lords that they run. That's what happens when you visit those places. But you never hear about those things. You only hear about beautiful cities, which is indeed a beautiful one, along the beach, get inside in the favelas, and the life stops. So this thing, what I would not agree is that we must be used by these syndicates, economic syndicates and all that, to as South Africa, to say we are the worst. We are not good, but I doubt that will be where we are put. And by this syndicate that they term themselves as the best countries. I visited a few years ago. I visited to London. I requested to be driven to Brixton. The driver refused and said to me in London, you never come back from Brixton. If you go there, you go at your own risk. So those are the things you never hear about and all that kind of thing. I'm not saying that there is no crime, it's not serious, but I'm saying that we should guard against being run over by this syndicate because of investment and because of tourism and other things. I will end there for now, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very, very much, Minister. You've given us very detailed responses, and I appreciate that. Honourable Members, if you think your question was not responded to, you can raise your hand now, or else I'll take my second round of questions. And please don't give me follow-ups, only if you feel your question was not responded to. Honourable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I did not receive an answer on my question, what is being done as far as the 83% of our total budget. If I heard it correctly, if I listen and I look at the 250 million we received here, it is for deployment numbers, it's special allowances, care of our members. Now, Chair, I am the last person who doesn't want that there should be care to our members of the police services. They are entitled to their allowances, but it does not answer my question on whether the mind has been applied on this problem of 83% of the total police budget, not for operational use, not for equipment. I would have expected that I could have heard that something is being done about it. And maybe, Chairperson, and it is a follow-up, I want to suggest, well, I would ask the committee that we ask the police services to come forward with a comprehensive budget on their needs as far as equipment, training, that operational issues that is essential to ensure safety and security. To come forward with that, let the committee can make a decision if we want to increase the budget to see exactly for what. And the reason I'm asking that, Chairperson, is it is quite disturbing if I have to read in the media that in Gauteng, for instance, that they have, I think, 300 and something vehicles, but 50% of them cannot. It's not operational because it's a flat wheel or a flat battery. I have seen many media reports in certain communities where the community got involved replacing batteries and all that sort of things, repairing wheels, flat wheels and tires and all that sort of things. I didn't get that answer, Chairperson. we must go into this matter to see, and with great respect, we can increase the numbers. It's no use increasing the numbers, but the training is not up to standard, and it's just more percentage of the budget going into the numbers. So can I get, again, ask the question to the police. Did you apply your mind to this problem of 83% of the budget going for personnel? And I want to emphasize, I don't want the members to get less. They are entitled to their salaries. I think in some cases they're getting too less of a salary for the work they've done. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Groenewald. Honorable Shembeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was not properly answered on the question of what is the reason of the crime intelligence post of not being permanently filled for the past 10 years, so that we have been having acting divisional heads for the past 10 years. That department on its own is very, very sensitive. It has got sensitive information in it that does not need to be given to anyone. But now within 10 years, you are having different heads of that department. What is happening? Why were we having such different types of heads for each and every year? What was the cause? That's the answer that I wanted from the minister, that what is the cause of these different heads each and every year in such a critical position? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Could we have responses to those questions? National Commissioner?
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. Chair, the question of the 83%, I think I want to confirm that we've already applied our mind to it. I think firstly, I have made a decision as accounting officer that the 83% need to come down to 75%. And the difference in that percentage, we needed to drive it back to support the operations or the operational requirements. Now, with the current restructuring that is taking place, we have decided that some of the posts that were freezing, that we are no longer going to replace, we direct the budget both to production level, but not necessarily to address personnel matters only, but also to increase the physical resource strength so that we make sure that we support the operations. So this particular percentage, it as we speak, it's no longer exactly at 83%. It has been taken down, but in the report that the honorable member has proposed, we can't be able to reflect because we also then need to uplift the operational capability of the organization so that we make sure that we strike the balance. But what also pushes up the 83%, it's the top heavy structure, which we're also then trying to stabilize at the present moment. So the second question, I think, was directed to both myself and the minister. But what I would like to explain is that when I took over as national commissioner, crime intelligence had already stayed without a divisional commissioner for 8 years. The first decision I took was to stabilize crime intelligence. And I worked out on the release of the then divisional commissioner who was on suspension, and then we managed to release him. And then I appointed the divisional commissioner who's currently also under investigation. But that was the first step. And immediately I then decided, let's put to an end to this particular environment, because it's actually forming the base of fighting that is crime in the country. But then unfortunately, maybe I just need to add that immediately after the appointment of the divisional commissioner, I then introduced the corporate renewal approach, which was then a total rebuilding of the crime intelligence. But then unfortunately, then at some other stage, we then received the report from the IG, which compelled us to commission an internal investigation to the current head. And that's what took us to another acting again, which is the one that I have explained. But I think the instability starting from that particular time has been caused by various factors, which I think are the factors that we're dealing with now to make sure that it is completely stabilized. But the corporate renewal process of crime intelligence is continuing. And we have now linked it to the restructuring. We're working now towards having a permanent divisional commissioner. And then, but despite that, we are driving the process of a total revamping of the division. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, National Commissioner. Are you happy? You wouldn't like anyone else to add?
For now, Chair, maybe the person who's overseeing the function of the late General Mfazi is Lieutenant General Vuma. I'm not sure whether that she wanna add anything, but and maybe Lieutenant General Mkhabudi.
If they would like to add, they could do so now.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think the National Commissioner has addressed the matter of CI. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I'd now ask that we have a minister. You are leaving us, so you've answered your first round of questions. I'm going to allow for a 15-minute break. We'll return at 25 to 3. You can have a break for 15 minutes. We'll return at 25 to 3. Thank you.
But Chairperson, the question of CI was also directed to me.
Oh, Minister, if you want to and you insist.
I think it's well answered by the Commissioner, but because the member was insisting that the minister must answer. I want to put this on record. All DDGs in the government are appointed by the cabinet, appointed by the ministers and affirmed by the cabinet, except in the police. In the police, DDGs are appointed by the national commissioner. And it will be then difficult for the executing authority to oversee and follow that, because by the time it comes, it's for noting with the minister, which then is difficult question to answer. Why? Remember, all lieutenant generals are DDGs, so then it will be difficult to answer on the question and the processes that you come on the tail end of it, and you are not part of understanding
and not even affirmed by the cabinet, as all other TTGs are affirmed by the cabinet. But CI has been problematic from the very word go. By the way, the head of CI was suspended in 2011 while myself I was there, and he stayed there 8 years getting paid, full paid and all increases and all that kind of stuff. And these changes that have been acting because he was there and all that. So the one raised by Commissioner now of General Mokhubuti, I think it would be better discussed with him on Monday, and including the other things which I believe that we'll be able to report to the portfolio committee after that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. So you have a 15 minister. Thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow at 9 o'clock again. So we understand that you'll be at least twice a week. And the inquiry could also take quite a bit of your time. So minister, we'll really give you enough space and enough time to prepare. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll have a joint presentation tomorrow from your cluster, from the JCPS cluster. Agreed, Minister, that we do a joint presentation.
Between who and who?
The JCPS cluster. We have a joint meeting tomorrow, Minister.
Okay.
One presentation from police, defense, and state security.
Okay.
Thank you, Minister. So when you have that, could they send us the presentation? Because we haven't received it yet, the single presentation.
I don't know if all these ministers know about that, but they will touch base with them as I requested Chairperson to withdraw on this one, touch base with, and make correction of what you have just raised.
Thank you very much. So we'll see you tomorrow, Minister. Thank you very much. We adjourn and we reconvene at 2:55. Thank you. Thank you, National Commissioner. Thank you, honourable members. You are back from your lunch break. Afternoon, General Labia. Afternoon, General Labia. I saw the general now. I want to know from the general how far they are with their investigations in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. Honourable members, I'll take another round of questions now. Shembeni and Mapatsu, these are old hands. Mapatsu, is your hand up again now? Shaky Mum, I see your hand.
Yeah.
You may start. And then Mapatsu and then Shembeni.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, my second question is connected to the first one, and Commissioner, National Commissioner responded. But my problem is with regards to the issue of promotions and appointments. There is an outcry on the ground that many senior officers with a lot of experience and the skills and the qualifications have been marginalized for a long period of time. And for that reason, many of them are leaving the force. Now, because some of the juniors are being appointed rather than those with the necessary expertise and the necessary qualifications and experience. Now, in the same light, the commissioner explained to us who is responsible for appointments. And my question then is, what was the public spat all about when the commissioner made appointments and the minister went and overturned them? So it's a twofold thing. First of the original question, and I'm looking for a response there. And more importantly,
on why people are also exiting the force because of them being demotivated, because they are being bypassed and sidelined and not being promoted. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheikh Imam. Honorable Mapatswe, and then Shembeni, have you lowered your hand now?
No, I'll be asking a question after Honorable Mapatswe.
Mapatswe, then Shembeni, and then Tablanche, and then Faku. Mapatswe, you can come in now.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I want to follow on the footsteps of Honorable Sheikh, that you know, there is a project that is called the Non-Statutory Force Program. And that program, we said it must be implemented. And we have been waiting for the report to understand how far it is. We received the report that the South African Police Union has taken that matter to court. But I want to agree with Honorable Sheikh that the commissioner said he appoints people according to the speciality, where they specialize. Now, the minister also attested to the powers of the national commissioner. And I hear that he is now raising the issue of another commissioner who is in court. And I don't think he is in court because he is fighting for his position. He is in court because of other things. And therefore, if the minister, Peter, the minister has left, I hope the DM is there. And therefore, if you say the matter is in court, which is not related to the promotion and restructuring, why should the commissioner not move with the appointment of the person that he or she has identified in those positions? What is that? Yes, indeed, there should be consultation with the minister. But what if in the event that the minister says no, and the commissioner says, no, I want this person, where do we draw the line as the committee? I understand if the matter was in court for another, for the position, that I don't want to be moved in this position. But the police services is like the army. If you do restructuring, you can move people around because of the speciality, as long as it's not going to demobilize the effectiveness of the police. So, Chair, the minister said he doesn't know anything about those courts and other things in front of us here. Now, I have repeated that. That means there are tensions, because the minister can't wait for us to raise these questions here when he sees he calls the commissioner, but they don't drink tea together. What is that he waits for this meeting to raise those things, whereas we saw them in the newspapers? We have not received that report. We just received it today. That is why I was saying we need a proper report on the issue of the grabbers, so that we can be able to engage on these things, because they were just raised by Honorable Whitfield without any presentation that has been received by the committee. So, Chair, I'm saying, as long as we don't play our oversight role without any fear or favor, that if there is no instability there, let's play our role and discuss with the men in blue and women that is about our people. This is about the safety. This department is very important. If our people, they don't feel more safe, Chair, in their own country because of the challenges of the internal squabbles, we can't accept it as a committee, Chair. We can't. And I think, Chair, we have raised this issue that we're going to have a meeting today with the portfolio committee. And the time and again, the minister does not finish the meeting with us. And it's not good, Chair, because it will be like we're gossiping about him now. Whereas these issues, they affect him directly, and we wanted to raise
Okay.
Yes, I just wanted to say, Chair. Yes, Chair, I can hear that your network is not good. But I'm saying, Chair, what is the reason that the commissioner, as mandated by the is a subs act or the regulations, what are his duties? And then you say you can't because the matter is in court. Court for what? Is it for the position or is for the other reason? That was I wanted to ask Chairperson. Because we can't have one person holding two positions or three positions because there's a case that has dragged for 8 years. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mapatse. Honorable Shembeni.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable
Mapatse. Thank you, Chair. What I want to concur with my fellow members of parliament about the issue of the promotion in the SAPS that demoralizes our members. And I've been speaking about these things since 2019. That, Chairperson, it does not make sense where you will be told that you are not going to be promoted as long as I am in charge here. I either am the station commander or the brigadier who are not in good terms. Meaning that it's about now personally issues. And then now we are having police officers who are having diplomas, degrees and all these things with long service in the SAPS, but they are not considered. So now it gives us a problem. What criteria is being used? That's the question that I've been asking. Is there a committee? But I was told, yes, there is a committee that deals with the promotions. But the criteria that is being used, because the police officers must all know that I must be promoted from here to where, when, what, and what happens. Because I cannot have a service, have a diploma, have a degree without any departmental trial, without any criminal case, but I'm not promoted. Why? When I apply. And then a person will be told that you must apply for this post. It's your post, my sister. What is that? What is the meaning of that? It can't happen. We are demoralizing our police officers. Now, I've got a question. This question that I'll be asking here, Chairperson, I asked or I raised a motion as the EFF in 2019 on the 29th of September about the capacity of the police stations in the whole country. That includes the provincial offices. To say, we must know that this station, it has got a rack that tells us the station is having
the commander is a brigadier, he must have or she must have four colonels, four lieutenant colonels, captains and all that. We don't have that in the stations. That I'm still standing on that we need to have the quarterly reports of the stations every year. That will tell us that you are supposed to have this. Are you having that? You are supposed to have so many cars. Are you having that? You are supposed to have so many constables. Are you having those constables in your stations? The capacity of the stations at the station level. That will bring us to say the station is having a capacity of so and so for a number of people that are so and so in that area. Say it's an area of 10,000 of 1 million people. That will tell you that you're supposed to have so much. So the question is the capacity of the police stations. When are we going to get the quarterly reports that will help us to tell us that this station is supposed to have so many members, so many cars, and all that? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Shembeni. Honorable Tablanche.
Thank you, Chairperson. The minister is not with us anymore, but I'll direct my question, I think, to the National Commissioner and or General Lebea. Chairperson, it's about, you know, mention was made about the so-called 12 people that are suspected, you know, to behind this whole unrest that we saw. I just want to know whether any arrests were made already, because apparently these people are known, about the 12 people. And then secondly, were any arrests already made about the missing ammunition? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Tablanche, are you done?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I'm done.
Thank you, Honorable Faku.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I think...
Sorry, General Lebea, can you switch off your camera, please? General Lebea, please switch off your camera. Honorable Faku, you may continue.
No, Chair, I just have one question. And a concern, especially on the legal matters that have been raised with regards to the court judgments today and minister not being aware of some of the issues that have been raised in the committee. I just want us to know, Chair, because when you ask questions, you don't get a direct answer, but when a person responds, then you understand really there's a problem. Chair, can I perhaps get clarity from the National Commissioner and also the CFO why Minister has raised issues around supply chain management? We've also heard that in case that then there were issue of bullets that subs don't have. So we want to understand what are the challenges within the supply chain and how are these challenges going to be rectified? I have those questions, Chair, and that comment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Faku. I think we do have a General Rit in the meeting, and I'll also allow General Rit an opportunity to respond himself. I really want to nail the matter of supply chain. We cannot receive comments about supply chain all the time. And the minister is consistently complaining about supply chain, but then what is being done? Honorable Meshu.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question also has to do with the latest developments around ammunition that has been lost, because from what we heard from the papers that the place was secured, there must have been cameras that showed what happened. Now, the people that were given the responsibility of ensuring that there was enough security around those ammunition, and there was also a claim that it was not known that the person to whom the ammunition belonged did not come forward. But others are saying it belonged to the SAPS. So we want to know, what is the truth? Did it belong to the SAPS? Did it belong to an ordinary citizen? And would an ordinary citizen have the right to have to order so many bullets? Because I know that the South African, the laws will not agree to that. So are we being misled when we are told that it belonged to a private person and not to government? So what is the latest, and what is the truth about that? Who did it belong to? And the cameras, have they shown who stole that ammunition? And the people that were in charge of the security around that time, are they not involved? Have they been questioned about that? And that's, we want to know exactly what's happening with that ammunition. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Meshu. The SAPS Act appears to be at the heart of remedying some of these contested powers and functions of the minister and the national commissioner. What efforts are you making to address these matters within the new amended SAPS Act? Could we please see or be briefed in more detail on the new SAPS Act? We were also expected to amend the IPED Act. So I think if we can finalize these policy, outstanding policy matters, we'll be able to clarify the relationship between the National Commissioner and the Minister, failing which it would then be the two of them not understanding their roles. So the SAPS Act has to clearly define the roles of the Minister and the National Commissioner. Honorable Mapatswe, do you still have your hand up? You've asked your question.
I'm sorry. I forget to lower it.
Honorable National Commissioner, you could also ask the other generals to assist.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, let me start with the first question. Firstly, there's a statement which has been made by the honourable member where there's utterings to members involving promotions. I just want to say upfront that such a statement amounts to a serious misconduct. It doesn't matter who is uttering it. If it is a senior person, a general to a junior, the general himself is committing a misconduct. Because the promotion process in the South African Police Service is clearly outlined in the national instructions. And the members need to be treated purely in terms of the national instruction. And the set national instruction, it stands out explicitly that any information which is not part and parcel of the assessment cannot be brought in to the process of either promotion or appointment. So my plea could be that if honorable members pick such statements up, if they could be brought to our attention, because they warrant action. Secondly, on the members that are said to be sublined, I think I do not want to deny this particular statement. But I want to say, as a result of an unstructured an inconsistent application of the national instructions, you would therefore find members that are sidelined. But our attempts with the restructuring, in terms of the restructuring, we've appointed a committee of senior members, which I think is led by the Deputy National Commissioner. We said to them, let us look into the profiles, and Labour is there also. We looked into the profiles of each and every member of the South African Police Service, and that profile includes qualifications and everything, and see whether is this member put at the right place. And is this member making or put in a position to make a contribution or add value to the organization? If not, they use that profile to recommend that this member must be placed otherwise. The same applies with the promotion process, Honorable Chair. I have appointed a monitoring and evaluation committee on the promotions. If provinces effect their promotions and their appointments, they are all subjected to this particular national evaluation and monitoring and evaluation committee, so that they could ratify. If the national instructions or the policy framework has not been correctly applied, then they question that particular appointment and call for correction. I think I've also directed another process of looking into the academic qualifications as members acquire them, so that we can also review their placement and look at other developmental processes related thereto. With regard to the reversal of the appointment, I suspect that this question has already been answered by the minister, because the minister has indicated that the appointment of DDGs in the South African Police Service is the mandate of the National Commissioner. And by the time there was a suggested reversal, I actually advanced the policies and legislations related thereto, because if I would have reversed the appointment, it was going to count against me because the mandate is with me. But of course, the minister further said we are working together with him. Therefore, by the time I effect this appointment, I then also bring him on board so that he doesn't stay without knowing who is the new general that came to the fore. And we must then be able to create the same that is understanding. But the prescripts, the National Instruction and the Police Act, they prescribe that I should effect the appointment. That's why if an appointment process starts, I would first approve the panel that will be handling the appointment, and thereafter there will be recommendations brought to me. I will approve the appointment. Then thereafter I will also then inform the minister. So that's what the process is, and I think the issue of reversal of appointment was then corrected in a way, because there was an understanding created. Then the matter in court, I wanted to maybe put it a little bit correctly to say the matter regarding the restructuring placement, specifically the CI one, the matter is not in court. And there's no court order to this effect. The divisional commissioner went to his lawyers, and his lawyers wrote us a letter saying we should maintain the divisional commissioner in his position, or else they will take us to court. The same applies to the other one, which has been advanced by the minister. Both of those have received letters from the lawyers. And the restructuring committee has responded to the correspondence by these lawyers. But what I also want to explain to the committee, because restructuring is a dire need, but the finalization of it would in a quicker or in a short space of time, will then work towards the advantage of the organization so that we bring in stability. Now, any delay can then cause instability. But the prescript that is dealing with the restructuring, firstly, clearly outlines it's a process that is also confined to the accounting officer to handle. But secondly, during restructuring, no one is in the post. Only the national commissioner is in the post. And after all, I have to confirm everyone or place everyone, starting with the deputy national commissioners and downwards. When the restructuring started, I first did the confirmation of the deputy national commissioner. And after all, I appointed them into a committee to deal with the placement of everyone else. Now, no matter who takes us to court, but no one is in the post. And the post of CI during restructuring was vacant. And by the time we played the current Lieutenant General, the post was vacant. And I also then want to indicate further that the former CI Divisional Commissioner, who's contesting this with the lawyers, he is also officially placed in terms of the restructuring at Inspectorate. And I those recommendations by the restructuring committee is in a post. So I'm going to resolve this matter, as the minister indicated, to say maybe on Monday we will explain everything. But I don't think we should retard the restructuring process because people are threatening us with court action. I think it's critical for the organization to move forward. Then the capacity of stations, I just wanted to indicate that we decided to move away from the REC. We introduced the personnel plan for each and every police station. What happened previously is that the profiles of stations has been growing, but the resources were not growing together with the profile, and the station ended up being a hotspot. At the present moment, those are the processes that I have instructed. But I agree with the honorable member that we might need to give a constant update to say, as the profile is growing, this is how the resources has followed, that is the profiles of those particular stations. And we have also then made this a matter for community policing so that the communities are also assisting to monitor development in that area, and is also linked to the municipal profile. The 12 people exactly, Lieutenant General Livia will be responding. The only thing I can say is that to date, the reports that has been brought to me, 11 instigators has been arrested and they are behind bars. But I don't want to say the 12 people. We have asked in the National Security Council, as we're reporting, that we rather be allowed to deal with this matter operationally. Because from time to time, we are asked to relate on progress regarding the arrest, but although it's no longer a problem to report people because they've already arrested, but sometimes if you are dealing with the unconventional approach, it is far more risky to tell people that you've arrested someone because of the other unconventional modus operandi risk that are there. Then the missing ammunition, Chair, there's two arrests which has been effected firstly, and the investigation is continuing. But I have spoken to the provincial commissioner and the senior national people handling the situation in KZN. And in terms of the report that we got, the ammunition does not belong to the state. They belong to a private company. Further information, which is subject to investigation, suggests that the container was not allowed, was not cleared at the harbor. But he was still trying to find out why did it not go back, why did it stay there around. But the ammunition doesn't belong to the state up to this far, the reports we've received. Supply chain, the chair has indicated General Reed would also be afforded the opportunity, but I just needed to indicate the steps and actions that has been taken at my level. Firstly, supply chain got contaminated, and there has been a lot of interest in supply chain. I can actually rather describe it as a money-making scheme. That's what it became. And as a result of that, immediately after I started, I functioned both internal and as well as criminal investigations in order to deal with supply chain and clear with it. You would know it started with the divisional commissioners, the divisional commissioner and quite few other senior officers and quite a lot of people. Some were arrested, some we then dismissed. But immediately after we have dealt with that part, I then decided on a corporate renewal. And the corporate renewal started with the appointment of a new divisional commissioner. That's when Lieutenant General Reed was appointed. But when Lieutenant General Reed came to supply chain, he found chaos. And I think up to this far, I can say he has tried his level best to correct that particular situation, but I think he can speak for himself and just indicate so that we can see what's the progress. The separation of powers, Chair. Yes, I think there's few prescripts that need to be looked into, maybe by the legal team, the legal people, which he will include reading some of the regulations with existing legislations and with the police act. And I'm sure this thing needs to be cleared in a very amicable way. Thank you very much, Chair. With your permission, I can then give both General Reed and General Vuma the opportunity just to add to supply chain. And then thereafter, General Libya. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. General Vuma, General Rick, and then General Libya.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. With regard to supply chain, we are in a corporate renewal, as the National Commissioner has alluded to. We are also part of the restructuring, and as the National Commissioner rightfully said, that the sooner we finalize the restructuring process, the better we will be able to place the right people at the division supply chain who will be able to respond to service delivery as it is required by the organization as well as the country. So in terms of the issues that were raised by the minister, General Reed will engage in details in terms of the specifics. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, General Reed. Is General Reed?
Chairperson, yes. Can I request that while General, we're trying to find General Reed, maybe General Libya can proceed?
General Libya?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Sorry for that video clip. We were trying to migrate out of the offices because there is a COVID positive. Then they are going to do the contamination. That's why we had to move into the car. Sorry for that. The first question, which I'm just adding on what the National Commissioner have already said, coming from the Honorable Terblanche, regarding the 12 people that have been mentioned
The National Commissioner have indicated that there are other people that have been already been arrested. What I can assure the committee is that there is a whole process that is taking place behind closed doors between the investigation team that is working closely with the National Prosecuting Authority. Part of the process is to do the linkages. Some of the individuals that will be taken for one matter is not over, and then it can still go to the others. But that linkage process, as one will appreciate, that it is not the work of an individual, and we don't want to be raising eyebrows, but there is a lot of work that has been done, that has been done. I was reading one of the statements that consists of more than 200 pages that deals with the challenges that we need to be resolving. So the investigation is continuing, as the National Commissioner have indicated, that certain individuals have already been taken into custody. With regard to the question that was raised by the Honorable Meshwe, the National Commissioner has also already answered the part of the question. With regard to the investigation, we have got a team that is being led by a very senior officer in the level of Major General. So all of the boxes are being ticked. The checklist include all the nitty-gritties that need to be done at the scene of crime. The reason why the ammunition should have been at a specific place rather than where it was supposed to be. But those are the methodology of investigation. But I rest assured that the team is well experienced, and the National Commissioner has already indicated some of those that have already been arrested with a certain portion of the ammunition. Some of the ammunition, obviously, once removed out of the things that we are able to identify it with the scene of crime, we may not be able to say this comes from that particular container. But we are working on this, and then all the questions that are being asked by the investigation team need to be answered. So that is what I can say with regards to the two questions that have been asked. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members.
General, thank you very much, General Labia. We understand that you had to move out of your office. We were just seeing very strange visuals coming from your camera. So your apology is accepted. Then do you have General Rick back again?
Good afternoon, Chair. Am I audible now, Chair?
Yes, you are, General Rick. You may continue.
Thank you, Chair. My apologies for earlier on because my gadget actually disappointed me, but I'm back now. Chairperson, thank you. Let me first start off with a question that was asked: if the ammunition belonged to the South African Police Service. I can just say it without any contradiction that it didn't belong to the South African Police Service, because otherwise I would have known. And those ammunition, to whom does it belong? I can't respond to that, but not to the South African Police Service. Chairperson, now with a question about why the minister raised always the issues of supply chain management, what are the challenges? I think I was partly covered by the National Commissioner, but I must add on, Chairperson, when the Commission was talking about supply chain management was highly contaminated, I can support the statement, because when I came here, we have arrested more than 20 people. Actually, the first arrest was 23 people that we arrested the previous year for supply chain management irregularities, and some of them have been dismissed, and others are actually caught going, as the National Commissioner was indicating. Now, Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I was also involved in some of the departmental investigation and actually made it sure that we've got a clean governance in supply chain management. Now, Chairperson, I don't want to lecture this meeting, but eventually when I came here, I made sure that all the prescript of supply chain management needs to be followed. Unfortunately, some people are getting frustrated because if I break one of the rules, eventually I'm the only person who's going to answer about this particular breakage of rules, and nobody will be accountable to that. And unfortunately, I'm the one who actually makes sure this particular governance or legislative framework set out by our country is being applied to. Now, in terms of the issues that was examples of made about the buccal samples and the DNA and the helicopters, let me first start with the buccal samples, Chairperson. Buccal samples are enough in the store. I'm repeating, enough in the country for that matter also. So where the shortages or the problems come from supply chain management, maybe somebody else must explain, but as I'm explaining as a supply chain, we do have enough. The issue of the DNA issues, yes, when I came into supply chain management, I found a huge backlog in terms of the DNA contracts in the forensic service environment. And everybody can attest to that in the South African Police Service, including the ministerial office. Because of not issues of supply chain per se, it's starting with issues of the CGS funding, which was actually looted in the past. And as the National Commission is saying, some people are also caught going for those particular things. And that made us not to have a budget in the operational budget. And we struggled. And when the budget came forward towards the end of the financial year, the previous year, the funding was allocated. But you must remember, Chairperson, as we all know, the procurement process is not about the funding is there, then immediately you receive your request that you or your need that you have actually asked for. There are processes, the need is being coming in, funds must be certified. Various committees are being set up, starting from the specification committees, and eventually you advertise. Various other committees are coming into place to evaluate and adjudicate, and then only awarding. Now, certain issues can also go wrong because you will have to guard against other processes like the legislative frameworks, because eventually if you make a step, as I was indicating earlier, that the AG is also watching your back at the end of the day. Now, because of my process that I'm putting in place, as I'm saying, maybe other people don't like it, but unfortunately, those who don't like it, they will have to maybe understand that I'm trying to put in a process in place so that we can have clean governance. And as I'm saying now at the stage, the AGS is actually on my neck about certain issues that went wrong, and I'm the only one who's explaining about these particular issues. So yes, Chairperson, to make sure that we have got integrity as well as a clean governance and actually making sure that the South African Police Service is being protected in terms of procurement, I will actually always be there, despite the fact that I'm being accused for supply chain, not giving some resources or whatever, let it not be. But then eventually, Chairperson, if the National Commission is having a problem, you would have been the first one to say to me, I'm not actually progressing in terms of providing this or equipment to the end users. Yes, I'm not saying supply chain management is clean, but we are trying our utmost best because we put some measures in place, as General Vuma was indicating, the corporate renewal strategy is still in place. But in terms of saying supply chain is not performing, then I would have liked to say as to what is my problem so that I can actually correct it and move forward. But to make a blanket statement to say supply chain management, Chairperson, then I will protect supply chain wherever it goes. If somebody is doing wrong things, eventually I'll have to make sure that that particular somebody is going through processes of discipline so that we can root out corruption and whatever misconduct in the supply chain environment. And I think that is my mistake, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, General Rick. You've clarified quite a number of issues. We have a clean audit this year?
Sure.
I want General Rick to tell me about my audit outcome this year.
No, Chair?
Yes, DM?
Yeah, no, I think, good afternoon to you and to members, National Commissioner and Minister in absentia. I was saying that you are putting General Rich on the spot, and I think it will not be appropriate for for us to say, to push him to a corner to say there will be a clean audit, because he is not responsible for clean audit, but the institution, and in particular, if you can ask the National Commissioner.
So, Jim, you are now becoming the protector of General Reed.
No. I'm not. In fact, I wanted to say that, you know, that the issues of supply chain, Chairperson and members of the committee, this, we came to you and said we have challenges. And we came to you to say that we didn't have a head of supply chain. And we came back to the committee and said we have appointed a head of supply chain, which is General Reed. And we have developed a corporate renewal strategy for supply chain so that we deal with the bottlenecks that were there. A lot of work has been done, and a number of outstanding contracts have been processed. However, because of the magnitude of the problem, there are areas where there are still challenges because the issues have not completely been resolved. For instance, within forensic, which we are gradually grappling with, and ultimately I think we'll be able to overcome these obstacles. So generally speaking, we have made progress. It's just that there is a lot that we should have done, and we must continue to do until we have got 100% satisfaction in terms of the things that we need to utilize. And appearing here before you, we have made progress indeed. But yes, challenges are still there. It's not going to be an easy process. And if you look at where we come from and the issues that we're dealing with and the current environment where we are just from this protest, which we have said to ourselves that we could have done better. So the atmosphere, yes, is still not clear. It's a bit poisoned. And until we normalize things, we will not expect you to treat us with kid gloves. Like you are saying, you want an assurance that clean audit is coming, and we must give you that clean audit. I think the things that we are trying to do is to ensure that we arrive at an environment wherein the way we procure goods and the way we manage the assets of the state is such that we can at all times account in a manner that the Auditor General will be comfortable with what we present. We are determined to arrive at a clean audit. It's not going to be an easy route, but we are determined to ensure that that happens. I thought, Chair, I must make those comments because I felt it will be necessary for members to get this type of a perspective around the issues that you have raised with us here. Thanks very much, Chairperson.
Honourable members, thank you very much. General Rich, we have seen a marked improvement since you have been permanently appointed, and we really know that you're working under difficult circumstances, and we're all putting pressure on you, but we know that there has been an improvement, and we really would like to see that unit of yours being stabilized. Honourable members, I'm not going to take many more questions. If you have something which you need to ask very urgently, which cannot wait for tomorrow, because tomorrow we'll be joined by a number of other committees. A shaky mum, and then I'm going to give an opportunity for the...
Thank you, Chair. Chair.
I've also raised my hand, Chair.
Okay, then a shaky mum, Shembeni and Mapatswe, and then I'm closing.
Thank you very much, Chair. I thought this was very urgent, and I know that General Lebia did talk about those ammunition. My concern is, and the concern of the general public out there, there's just under 1.5 million of this ammunition that is in the hands of somebody, and nobody knows who has got it, which poses a great risk to the communities, particularly where the violences have erupted. Now, I'm looking for some explanation or some guidance or some confirmation from General Lebia and his team.
when can we expect, or how far is the investigation in being able to identify and establish where this ammunition is and who exactly is responsible for what has happened? Because it places us at great risk at this point in time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Imam. Honorable Shembeni and then Honorable Mapatswe.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to quickly find out from the National Commissioner about the Provincial Commissioner of the Northern Cape. Is there any appointment? Because I remember it was advertised. It's a funded post. Is there any permanent appointment there? Thank you. If not, why?
Thanks, Honorable.
Or when can we expect the appointment?
Thanks, Honorable Shembeni. Honorable Mapatswe.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was not responded to that the question I raised about the non-statutory forces. And this has been a long, outstanding matter that if we don't ask about it, it doesn't come back to the committee to be discussed. Because members of the NSF, they followed the correct procedures, which the subs, they know, they fund it. But there's never been a movement. What we received the last time I asked, I think it was 2020, about this question, it was that the Solidarity Union has interdicted the implementation of the re-ranking of the non-statutory force members. Thank you, Chair. It was not answered.
Thank you very much. General Sotole.
Thank you very much, Chair. We omitted the question by the Honorable Chair by mistake. I would start with the one of the NSF. Chair, from here, I think it's firstly, there was the matter was taken to court. It was Solidarity. It's not SAPU. It was an order that we should not proceed. The whole process must come to a standstill until the court has concluded the process. But I think because it's a court order, we will then need to follow a legal process because it is now taking longer than expected. And then so that we get a clarification from court. Because there's other processes that are getting negatively affected, which include the performance of the organization. We are then going to task legal services, but we are held up by an order, which if we violate, they will hold us on contempt. But I think we will ask for urgent clarification so that to the committee on the matter. With regard to the Northern Cape, I think firstly there was a little bit of a misunderstanding or a confusion with regard to the termination of the contract of the former provincial commissioner of Northern Cape. I think I dealt with the contract termination in terms of the act. And after all, I then made an indication to the former provincial commissioner and we disposed of the contract. But then when I then informed the premier and when I escalated the matter to Section 207 of the Constitution, the premier wanted us to go back to the contract part of the former PC. Then I indicated the prescripts again. As we're explaining here, the separation of powers, because according to the Police Act, I would make a decision whether to extend a contract or maybe decide or not, and I would inform the PC. But then the Act provides that if I do so, if I decide to extend, I will do it in consultation with the minister and not the premier. So it's outside the constitution. But then the premier wanted us to deal with this one. I explained and clarified it. Then I started the Section 207 process. I advertised the post. And then after advertising the post, I also invited the province to participate, which is not prescribed in any of the provisions of the law, but we made it a practice in the police in terms of the national instruction that let's start involving them. I think the MSC withdrew during the last minute of the shortlisting process. We proceeded. We recommended a candidate. So we are still in a Section 207 process because the province declared unhappiness. But as then when I was in a process of escalating the matter to the minister, I think Northern Cape escalated it to the presidency. They called for the intervention of the president. And in view of the fact that there's an intervention of the commander-in-chief called, then we can no longer proceed. We held the matter in abeyance till we get the direction of the president. So that is why the appointment is not yet effected. But surely there's a need to revisit it, because if a province is without a provincial commissioner, then there's going to soon be chaos. No one is taking command and responsibility of the province. But the matter is looked at with serious priority. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Anyone else who has to respond, National Commissioner?
Honorable Chairperson, if you allow us, General Khan has got the development in regard to the solidarity matter. If we can allow her to add, please.
General Khan, and then we'll come back to General Vuma and also see if General Abia has anything else to say.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair. Good afternoon, Deputy Minister. Good afternoon, Honourable Members, National Commissioner, DNC Senior Managers. I just wanted to add on in terms of the solidarity matter to indicate that the matter has now been set down for the 20th to the 23rd of September. So that's progress in so far as the matter is concerned. Chair, I thank you.
Thank you very much, General Khan. General Labia, do you have anything to add?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, and good afternoon to the Deputy Minister. The question of the Honorable Sheikh Oman regarding the ammunition, which is a concern to the members of the public. Indeed, it is a concern that ammunition is there in illegal hands. The question is, when can we expect that the responsible people are taken to account? What we are currently doing is the investigation. We are also looking at the answer as to who is responsible for stealing the ammunition. We will appreciate that there is a part of investigation that deals with the administrative, the removal of the ammunition from where it is supposed to have been cleared to the point where it was stolen. So ours is focusing more on the stolen part of it and the attempt to recover. At this stage, we are not having the answer as to who is responsible for stealing. We know the owner who is supposed to have taken care of the ammunition where it was stolen. Part of those that have been recovered were based on information from the members of the public.
And we would like to call upon members of the public that have got knowledge of where the ammunition might be to come forward and to also assist if there is knowledge of who are the possible suspects that we may look at. So those are the things that we need to be able to answer this question as to who is responsible for the theft. We have got our intelligence who are working on this, assisting us, but I think that the members of the public are encouraged to bring forward the information as because as long as the ammunition is in the illegal hands, it poses danger to every one of us. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members.
Thank you very much. Honorable Deputy Minister, I allow you the opportunity now to do the concluding remarks from the side of SAPS.
No, thank you, Chairperson and members of the committee. And good afternoon, General Stoller and General Weir and all the generals present here. I must say, Chair, that we have appeared many times before you and the members of this committee to account on what we do. Today's encounter has been one of the most intense interaction between ourselves and yourselves. We appreciate the frankness that members of the committee under your leadership have interacted with us, and you could see that it's the frankness, but that is underlined by the genuineness and your desire to see an improved South African police service. For that, we will want to thank you and the members for having engaged with us in the very constructive and critical manner in which you have handled this. We think if we can approach things this way, where we are frank with each other and we raise things in the manner in which they are, we don't call a spade a digging fork and a digging fork a hose pipe. It will make us improve on our work. And I must assure members of the committee that we do have men and women in the South African police who are ready and willing to do their work under the leadership of the minister and the national commissioner, General Stoller, and the generals who are here, including the head of DPCI, General Levia. Under difficult circumstances, they have been able to rise to the occasion, and I'm quite confident that we can only improve as we interact with yourselves. Every time we come here as ourselves, but when we leave, we are much better and much wiser from the counseling that we get from members of the committee. And for that, we are quite grateful, Chair. And thank you very much for this moment. It has been a long day, but very, very constructive. And thanks a lot. We really appreciate this moment and this engagement. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, we have had a long day today. And last week, we changed our oversight visit into a five-hour engagement with the minister. We have to get to a point where we stop having questions and we start seeing a change in the environment in which we are working. At the end of the day, there has to be confidence in the work we are doing as SAPS. The reputation and the image of SAPS has been severely tarnished, especially over the last few weeks. We need a revitalized senior leadership echelon with forward-thinking professionals, especially in the new growing crime categories of cybercrime and gender-based violence. The revitalization of station commanders at local level in order for them to implement morale-boosting programs is essential. We need efforts and resources that have been placed at the disposal of training academies to deal with the morale of rank and file members. The training of rank and file members has become more and more urgent. The Sex Act appears to be at the heart of remedying some of the contested powers and functions of the minister. And what efforts are we making to address these matters? I repeat, when will we see the SAPS Act? We do not need to wait for the SAPS Act to be finalized by Cabinet. Honorable Deputy Minister, if the portfolio committee is brought online during the process, it makes it easier for us to comment on the amendments of the SAPS Act. Instead of waiting for it this long, having it out in the public, the same with the amendment of the Firearms Control Act, we need, it was part of our key performance and target areas as a portfolio committee to amend the SAPS Act, to amend the IPED Act. The Firearms Control Amendment Act was not really of concern to us. If it comes through, yes, we'll spend time on it. But in the next term, we'll have to spend sufficient time on engaging the SAPS Act and ensuring that whatever the product is, it will be a historic moment for this committee to complete the amendment of the SAPS Act. The SAPS Act has never been updated since the new constitution has been passed. So we have an unconstitutional act after 25 years. We've never amended the SAPS Act. We see this kind of conflict playing out in front of us, with contentious issues being seen as problems between two individuals. But if you get to the bottom of it, you'll see that we have more systemic problems where the National Commissioner is responsible for operational matters and the Minister is responsible for developing policy. If we lack the necessary policies to do our work, we'll always have contentious issues and we'll always be disagreeing on the roles which we have to play. I do believe that the amendment of the SAPS Act is key to us addressing some of the acute challenges in this South African Police Service. We will spend enough time on the acts of violence in KwaZulu-Natal, including receiving a report on what happened in Phoenix. That inquiry will look at the details of what happened in KwaZulu-Natal and what happened in Gauteng. After the inquiry, we have to ascertain whether our security structures are capable of managing such challenges in the future. It is not just about what happened, but also what needs to happen in the immediate term, immediately, in the medium term, and in the long term. Honorable members, you will be expected to join us again at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. It will be a joint meeting, so you can understand that if we have 3 or 4 committees combined with the NCOP, it would be a difficult meeting to manage. And it has to happen within a set period of time. Members, I wish to really alert you to the fact that all the members in this committee do not have access to unlimited Wi-Fi. you cannot expect me to arrange 4-hour meetings twice a week. Some of you are privileged to have unlimited access to Wi-Fi. Please do not assume that all the members in this committee are as privileged as you are. It is rather unfortunate that you think that I can have 4-hour meetings twice a week and expect members to spend 8 hours with data which they don't have. So please be considerate. You are constantly pushing for more time, for more questions, and it's becoming more and more difficult to respond to all your demands because you place these demands in a very, very unfortunate manner. And if you start losing respect for the chairperson, you will have absolute chaos in your meeting. I really try to accommodate all of you, but it is becoming more and more difficult to run a meeting which you expect to last for 4 hours twice a week. And then on the other hand, I have members complaining that they cannot afford to be in 8-hour meetings per week, 4-hour meetings a day, twice a week. We will see you tomorrow, and you should prepare yourself that the inquiry will also require 2 meetings per week. So if we're going to do the inquiry 2 meetings per week, and we have an additional portfolio committee meeting, you want 3 meetings to run for 4 hours. Honorable members, please bear in mind that we are going to sit for 12 hours. And it will cost you. I'm asking you to be extremely considerate. And with that request, I declare the meeting closed. Thank you very much.
Chair, my apologies.
Yes. DM?
Yeah. No, thanks very much. No, I just wanted to request you with regard to the subs amendment bill, that if you can ask us to come in and give you an update where we are, but also to brief you on the content of the bill, we are ready to come anytime. I was talking to the secretary about that.
We'll certainly arrange it for this third term. Okay. It's a priority for us, and it will be on the agenda. Thank you very much. Sir. Will receive that update with this. Honourable members, the meeting has been ended, and thank you very much for your cooperation and your participation in this meeting. I thank you.
Long live the chair.
Thank you, chair.
Thank you, National Commissioner.
Thank you.